take anything slowly at all.
The government bombardment continues today in the Syrian city of Homs. A shootout between U.S. immigration agents inside a federal building in Long Beach, California, left one person dead, another wounded late yesterday. Stephen Martinez of the FBI says it started as an argument.
When the incident escalated, one agent fired several rounds at the other agent, wounding him. Another agent working nearby intervened and fired his weapon to prevent additional rounds being fired at the victim. This resulted in the death of the shooter.
The Dow is at its highest point since May 2008. It added another 123 points yesterday, and the Nasdaq is back where it was in late 2000. It closed up 1.5% yesterday. Baseball Hall of Famer Gary Carter is dead at the age of 57. He lost a battle with cancer. Carter was a star with Montreal Expos and the New York Mets. Mets spokesman Jay Horowitz, a longtime friend of Carter's, says the catcher's death marks a sad day for the game.
10 months ago, he was diagnosed, and it's a sad thing. He was a Hall of Famer on and off the field. He did charity work. He was great with kids. He was great with the media. He was just a true gentleman and true ambassador to the game.
Carter was on the New York Mets World Series winning team back in 1986. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
What's better than getting something for a great price? Getting two things for that same great price. What we're trying to say is, it's buy one, get one free at Pearle Vision. So stop in and get two great pairs of eyeglasses or prescription sunglasses for the price of one. You're thinking, that's a great deal. And you're right. So don't wait. Stop into a Pearle Vision today.
Minimum purchase may apply. Second complete pair up to a maximum value. Maximum may vary. Same prescription. Valid prescription required. Valid only at participating U.S. locations. See store for details. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends 3/31/2012.
Wearing glasses with Prizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the sandstorms of the Mojave Desert, nor the dust and dirt of a Texas rodeo, nor the glare of the bright lights of Broadway can keep you from having the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for the mature eye care professional.
A financial company three-quarters owned by U.S. taxpayers is struggling so badly it may cancel plans for an initial stock offering and try to sell itself. Reuters reports Ally Financial, formerly GMAC, has made no firm decisions yet, but is considering whether to sell its auto financing division, its banking division, or the whole operation. It still owes Uncle Sam $17 billion in bailout money. Airline bankruptcies are nothing new. Several major carriers operated in bankruptcy the past several years. American is doing it right now. But a story from down under is playing out quite differently. Budget carrier Air Australia has entered voluntary administration, the Australian equivalent to Chapter 11, but it also has canceled all flights suddenly, leaving 4,000 passengers stranded in places such as Thailand and Hawaii. Yesterday's big Wall Street rally has encouraged Asian and European markets to follow suit, but little action for U.S. futures this morning. S&P futures break even. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
When I travel, I use WebEx for face-to-face meetings with clients online. We share documents and presentations, and they know, even though I'm not in the office, I'm always available to them. WebEx is awesome.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others, anytime, anywhere, on their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Welcome to Wilkins Bank. For checking, press 1. Savings, press 2. For other options, press other options. Is that correct? Press 3. To go back. For checking, press 1. Checking, is that correct? Mortgages. Lost or stolen ATM. For fraud.
If your bank won't let you talk to a real person 24/7 by pressing 0, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
Beat the winter blues with great savings at Rite Aid. Now through March 3rd, you can earn a $20 plus-up reward when you spend $100 or more on select products with your Wellness Plus card. Just look for the buy and save symbol on participating products throughout the store and circular. Save more this winter at Rite Aid with winter rewards. Another way Wellness Plus saves you more. In-store purchase with Wellness Plus card only. Plus-up will be printed on receipt in most markets for use on your next purchase once qualifying threshold is met. Plus-up expires March 17th, 2012.
You know, it's worse than a sick kid being home with a sick kid. They're whiny, they're miserable, and when you need to take a temperature, forget it. Bedlam. That's why you need the Exergen Temporal Scanner. It's the greatest gadget for taking temperatures. Just one swipe over the forehead and you're done. You get a clear, accurate read with no fuss, and you can even take it while they're sleeping. The medical profession has been using the Exergen Scanner for years. If it's good enough for them, you know it's worth every penny and great value for the money. The Exergen Temporal Scanner. Changing the way the world takes temperature. Available at Babies R Us, Toys R Us. It's another fine read.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality, maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier. And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do. That it is because of you that progress is made. That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow. And now it's time to honor what you have done. And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer. You will now raise your voice. Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Raise your coffee as well. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It is Friday, February 17th, 2012. Pleasure to be with you. We have a great show lined up for you today. Lots of great guests, Joe DeSano amongst them. He'll be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. For whatever reason, because he's just so good at what he does, it's such an amazing way to end the week. I know I've said this so many times before, but as we really kind of honor what we do on a daily basis, to have the regular guests that we have, and to count among them Joe DeSano, who is one of the most respected political strategists in the state of Michigan and frankly in the country, it's a real gift. Real gift for this audience. Mel Grieshaber will be with us. He is the political director and president of the Michigan Correction Officers Association. He'll be with us this morning to talk about privatizing prisons and why that is something that the state legislature is looking at. But there's more to this story than meets the eye. A, privatization, of course, we're told, is about what, saving money. Well, a new report out says that indeed it won't. But what if, I'm just throwing this out there, what if the guy that actually puts the bill out there, the lawmaker actually puts the bill out there, sponsors the legislation, what if you were to find out he recently received a handsome campaign contribution shortly before he sponsors that legislation? We'll get to that, absolutely. Lisa Rivard, a local author, will be with us. She's written a book for kids that is very, very appropriate, deals with bullying, and so we'll look forward to visiting with Lisa Rivard. Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift at 7:50, and again, Joe DeSano will be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to look forward to that. So indeed, we've got a lot of good stuff to get to today, and we're going to do that post haste. With that said, let's go ahead and get things going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Attention, like paying attention. Attention, attention, everybody. Attention is our first word today. It's important that we pay attention to give proper focus to the issues that kind of engulf us at this time in our lives, and whether they're local, statewide, national, international, for that matter. It's critical that you pay attention. As we kind of walk through a series of issues this morning, I'll remind you that what you decide to pay attention to matters in a... In a big way. I'm not asking you to pick any one thing to give your attention to. I'm also going to suggest that you can give your attention to a whole lot more than just one thing as well. So be mindful of that as we work our way through this and every morning, that your attention matters. And all I ask is that you give us a little bit. And in return, I promise to give you everything I can in return. If nothing else, you'll get the truth from me. No question that's true. So today's first word is attention. And I know paying attention all the time. All right, most of the time. Okay, some of the time. Is Jeff Radford, producer extraordinaire. Good morning.
What's going on?
Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing? Friday.
I'm adjusting to my new glasses.
Oh, so you finally got some.
Well, I have. I bought, two. Technically, I bought three pairs of glasses. One of them is a pair of sunglasses. So we're going to set those aside for a minute. You're a glasses guy, so you know when you first get them, there's an adjustment period. You know, everything's a little bit off, you know, the first day or two until your eyes adjust to, you know, your new prescription. And compounding this a little bit is that I did buy reading glasses separate from my regular glasses because I do a lot of reading. So it makes sense to do that. And they are phenomenal. I can, you know, the stuff that's in front of me, I mean, literally, the audio sheet that you gave me for today is screamingly crystal clear.
I made sure it was that way this morning.
Yeah. With that said, because I'm still adjusting to them, when I like look up to look at the computer screen, everything's a little off, a little fuzzy. So it's going to take a while to adjust to the new prescription. But all things considered, yeah, I'm pretty pleased. Yeah, Anthony and I are driving home yesterday morning after the show. And we get off the expressway, and I said to him, I totally forgot to stop and get my glasses. And he said he tried to take the blame for it. No, that's because I was talking, which I appreciate. No, it was my own. I did that all on my own. And then I had a meeting yesterday afternoon, and after the meeting I went over and picked them up. So anyway, yeah, it's good to see again. Like everything else, you don't realize how bad your eyes are getting until you get new glasses. I don't know how long it's been since you've gotten new glasses, Jeff.
A long time.
Yeah, and that's just it. I mean, you're going to get to a certain point, a certain age, I'll put it that way, where, yeah, you know, I remember those days where I could go get my eyes checked and have the same prescription year after year after year after year. And then, you know, I might, you know, they might say, hey, yeah, you know, I clearly remember when they said, hey, you need bifocals. I need what? I was in my 30s. I was stunned by that. I thought, no, old people get bifocals. Oh, yeah, I guess not so old people get bifocals, too. So anyway, and then, you know, as you get older, your eyes get worse. And here I am. But
Well, it's not because, I don't know, I think I can see pretty well with these, but I do need to see the eye doctor soon. I just have to, you know, schedule an appointment.
Well, you do need to, yeah, you do need to go. And
it's just, you know, it's funny because he gives me, you know, like a year supply of contacts. And I'm like, all right, see you in 2 years, because, I mean, I have to make them last a little longer. I can't afford to keep seeing him. He wants me to come see him every day almost, you know?
Once a year is not every day.
Oh, it's just I'm busy. I got things to do. Busy.
So you're telling me that you extend your contacts double what they're supposed to be?
Well, right now it's almost 2.5. Maybe. Yeah, no, not 3.
Okay.
But yeah, longer, way longer than I should.
Disposable, I'm assuming?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't wear contacts. I tried wearing them many years ago. I bought a pair of contacts, and probably the biggest waste of money, because I wore them once. They bothered me so much, I said to myself, the wimp that I am, I'm never going to do this again. And they sat in a drawer for many, many months until I finally threw them away.
Yeah, you want to talk about getting something used to? I think I can remember the first time I tried putting them in. It was like an hour of like trying to touch my own eye, because you're not used to that.
Right.
The average person is not used to, you know, touching your own eye until you get contacts. And then, like, now I can touch my eye and not blink, and it's an odd thing. But, I mean, at the time, it was just like the minute my finger came close to my eye, I'm blinking like mad and going and crying. But, well, eyes are watering anyway, and I'm like, this is not going to happen. But an hour after that, I was like, okay, I think I can muster this for a while.
Yeah, yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. Yeah, that was my issue. My issue was I couldn't touch my eyes. So when I was going to put the contacts in, I just, you know, blinking mania. just couldn't do it. And then once I finally got them in, Jeff, I, you know, it was like, for whatever reason, it felt like I had these huge, you know, metallic shields in my eyes. I don't, I'm sure I'm absolutely, totally dramatizing it.
No, that is exactly what it feels like. You just, you know, I have to get used to them.
So, and I just thought, okay, and again, I'm being honest, I only did it once, and I thought, I don't need to put myself through. That was the point, is I didn't need to put myself through it. So why put myself through it? It's not something I needed to do. And so I didn't do it. And I've never, I don't mind wearing glasses. That doesn't bother me. People have asked me from time to time, you know, why don't you get LASIK? And I'm sure I could. I know a couple people, and my mother-in-law, by the way, did and is thrilled.
Yeah, my mom has it.
You know, again, it's just, I don't mind wearing glasses. They don't bother me.
See, they do me. I couldn't, you know, go to the gym and have them, you know, start sweating and have them falling down my nose constantly. That would drive me nuts.
Yeah, like everything else, you just kind of get used to it. Although, you know, I will tell you that, that the last few years, especially like when I'm doing a lot of yard work where I'm going to be doing a lot of sweating, and I'll just take my glasses off because I can see well enough to do that kind of stuff without my glasses on. Because you're right, they do fall down your nose and all that happy stuff, but you know, no big deal. No big deal.
No, it is, actually. I had a job, I mean, not regular glasses, but I had contacts, and I had a job. It was a very short-lived job, but it was water blasting in a factory, and we were wearing Tyvek suits. And just wearing a suit, you don't even have to move. Just wearing that suit, it keeps all your body heat in, you know? So you're just sweating like mad in these safety goggles every 5 seconds sliding down my nose. I'm like, this is for the birds.
Well, I'm glad that's over for you. I'm really glad that's over for you.
I know. Thank goodness we don't have to wear Tyvek suits to the show.
Well, by the way, starting Monday, I don't know how the heck you knew this was going to happen, but that's exactly and safety glasses, that's the scary part. I mean, it's almost like you've been reading over my shoulder.
Gotta watch for all that toxic mud that's being tossed.
Thank you. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll continue this insanity. Not Linsanity, but insanity. We call First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We do have an accident out there, northbound 35 at Springwells. It's on the right shoulder, not really causing any kind of delay, so let's hope it stays that way. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, very nice out. Mostly sunny, a high in the lower 40s. Tonight, a chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy, a low in the lower 30s. And then Saturday, a chance of snow once again, mostly cloudy, a high near 39. Right now, it's overcast and 35 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and pay time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me, State Senator Bert Johnson.
How we want to do this is very simple. The state of Michigan taxpayers give away every year $35 billion, with a B, dollars to corporations in tax breaks and tax credits. We want to take a look from an accountability standpoint at every single one of those dollars. One of the biggest things the governor said last year was that he wanted to manage and look at and be accountable to every citizen for all of these tax credits. We know that there are many loopholes that can be closed. We want to take a mere 10% of those dollars back. That would be $3.5 billion. That would be enough, Tony, to cover the bill to send every high school grad, I don't care if you went to private or public or homeschool, if you graduated, we want to send every high school grad to college with a full $9,500 grant that would be enough to cover every dollar of tuition at any of our 15 public universities and our junior colleges.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Hey, welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. Not a whole lot going on in the world of sports. Michigan State wins last night, and good for them. Besides that, really not a whole lot going on. You know, the big news yesterday, Jeffrey, was the big news. Not really the big news, but when this time of year you take what you can get. Brandon Inge has made a request, and it has been granted that he gets a tryout at second base.
Why not? I don't see why it's a big deal. I mean. It's funny because it's pros and you don't see position switches a lot, I guess, you know, for the most part. But like if this was a kid's game or a high school and you're like, oh, I want to try out for third base, but someone's really good at third base and you notice that there's an opening at second, then you're like, maybe I'll try out for second base instead. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. You're a baseball player. So if you're the Tigers, you want the best possible person playing second base, right? No matter who it is, more competition, the merrier.
Okay.
Well, that's how I feel. I don't know how you feel.
It doesn't matter to me. Brandon Inge is in the last year of his contract. He may not even make the team this year.
Unless if he wins second base, then yeah.
He's not going to win second base.
Who's going to get second base over him?
I have no clue. No clue. They have a problem. They have a problem on the infield. There's no question about that. For a team that's positioning to make it to the World Series, they really have some issues with the infield. So I don't know who's going to play second base. Ramon Santiago can easily play second base. What the hell? Why don't they just let him start?
Because they believe that he's good in doses, not over the long haul. But then last year, he did have a stretch where he had to play so many games in a row and actually played pretty well there.
Yeah, imagine that. How was he in the postseason? I think he played pretty well in the postseason. Anyway.
So did Cody Ross, but then he got cut and he's a backup, so.
No. We'll wait and see how. I mean, listen, Brandon, he's just a competitor, and I appreciate that. In some circles, he's a fan favorite. In other circles, he's cancer. He's a baseball cancer. Controversial, no question about that. But we'll see what happens. That was the big news yesterday. I mean, there's really not a whole lot going on. I miss football.
Well, nationally, there's, LeBron James said he would play with the Cavaliers again. Yes, and Randy Moss wants to come back and play in the NFL. And
oh, well, we'll move on because we have other stuff going on, including the presidential candidates here in Michigan, which is, to me, far more interesting at this point than any of that other stuff, to be honest with you. So Let's turn our attention, ladies and gentlemen, to Channel 7. Mitt Santorum. How do you like that one? Wow, there's a... I don't even know if that's a Freudian slip. Rick Santorum is in Michigan. That's what Channel 7 had to say about that.
Well, Rick Santorum focused mostly on the economy during his speech. He stayed largely away from discussing social issues. Rick Santorum finds himself in the driver's seat in Michigan. In the spotlight today at the Detroit Economic Club meeting inside Cobo, Santorum emphasized his conservative credentials while taking some shots at President Obama.
We shouldn't have a society that has a president who envies or creates class warfare or envy between one group of people and another.
According to Santorum, major reforms are needed on programs like Social Security and welfare to rescue the economy.
We see the baby boom generation beginning to retire, and all bets are off as to whether we'll be able to afford this explosion of benefits.
On the auto bailout, Santorum says he's opposed to any government cash rescue, and he blasted Mitt Romney for his position on the issue.
Governor Romney supported the bailout of Wall Street and decided not to support the bailout of Detroit. My feeling was that we should not support, the government should not be involved in bailouts, period. And by the way, it's not the Obama administration. I know that Governor Romney focuses on the Obama administration, and that's the reason he does, is because he supported what the Bush administration did.
Santorum spent little time talking about social issues, but he did say a decline in the marriage rate is hurting the economy.
30 years ago, 71% of people over the age of 18 were married in America. Today is 51%, and it's dropped 5% in the last 3 years.
As Santorum wrapped up, he did not take any questions from reporters. And as this race heats up, expect to see a lot more of Santorum here in Michigan. Reporting from downtown, I'm Tom Waite, 7 Action News.
Yeah, you know, and interestingly enough, they were as close as the two of them got, as my understanding was, about 30 miles from each other. Mitt Romney... also in Detroit, also with his defiant rhetoric is the only thing I can say that's FCC compliant. Now, let's listen to a little bit of the Mitt Romney audio. He says that auto companies went bankrupt anyway. So, of course, he was right to say what he said.
Well, the auto executives went to Washington and said, we want $50 billion, a bailout. I said, no. The industry ought to go through a managed bankruptcy. And then, if financial help is needed by the government, then it'd be applied at that point. Ultimately, that's what happened. It took them a long time to recognize it. It took about 6 months, but they finally went through the managed bankruptcy. And by virtue of having done so, the industry has come back. So I'm delighted that that was the course that was finally taken and glad to see the industry come back.
Yeah, right. Again, after the fact... yeah, you can bend this stuff any way you want. Again, let's a little more audio, and then I got plenty to say, I assure you. Here Mitt Romney talks about being pro-worker.
You know, organized labor can play an important role in our economy, and has, but sometimes union bosses get the message wrong. I care very deeply about the U.S. auto industry. I want to see it thrive. And my policies will be the best policies to encourage the growth of industry, including the auto industry. And if union bosses decide to try and get in the way of the industry... or to do things that aren't in the best interest of their workers, I'm going to call them out for it.
All right, and this word, I have an issue with him. He claims, by the way, in other incarnations in his political life, he actually courted unions. When he was governor of Massachusetts, you don't get elected governor of that state without being pro-labor, so he was. This is a guy that, again, continues to be whatever... he seemingly needs to be to get the votes of the constituency he's standing in front of. And I just find that so hypocritical. And maybe that's why people aren't resonating with Mitt Romney. Maybe this is why he's not, you know, garnering any real traction and having a very difficult time, you know, with consistency, real consistency. In fact, the only consistency we're seeing from is he's consistently flip-flopping. This is a problem for him, and unfortunately for Republicans, all of this is just so easy to validate and to criticize, because it's just, oh, so damned true. And it's unfortunate in a variety of ways, because every political party deserves a good candidate. They don't have one at this point. They just don't have one. I'm very concerned. I'm very, very concerned. We'll discuss this more on the other side. As well, Bob Ficano has problems. Laura Cox, the only Republican on the Wayne County Commission, is asking for his resignation. Will the Democrats pony up to her and do the same thing or not? Well, we've got that and a lot more as First Shift continues. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This tunnel traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. We're still working that accident southbound 35 at Springwells. It's on the right shoulder. Shouldn't see too much of a delay down there. I'm Russ with traffic.
Stop by McDonald's today to enjoy the new crispy, juicy goodness of the poppable Chicken McBites, made with tender all-white meat, marinated and coated with home-style seasoning to satisfy your appetite. It won't last long, so try our new Chicken McBites today. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high in the lower 40s. Tonight, chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy, a low around 31. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high near 39. Right now, it's overcast and 35 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
The rich are different from you and me, but the really, really, really rich are also different from the merely rich. For example, the rich can buy caviar and champagne, but the triple R rich can buy entire presidential campaigns. Take Sheldon Adelson, the money bags who's pumped $11 million so far into Newt Gingrich's right-wing run. He has single-handedly kept Gingrich's White House ambitions alive. Without this one guy's money, the Newt would have been long gone. Thanks a lot, Sheldon. But Adelson can easily afford to roll the dice on a far-out candidate. This global casino baron hauled in $3.3 million in pay last year. Not for a year. That's what his hourly take was. In other words, his $11 million bet on Newt, which altered the Republican presidential race, was nothing. Less than 3.5 hours of one of Sheldon's work days. Even Rick Santorum, who's so far to the right that his left brain has entirely atrophied from lack of use, is actually in the running for the GOP nomination. He insists that people are flocking to him because of the power of his ideas. Sure, Rick. And the power of Foster Freeze's money. This little-known Wall Street multimillionaire has long been a partner in the Koch brothers' plutocratic cabal and a steady funder of right-wing Christian politics. Freeze modestly claims that God is, quote, the chairman of my board. I doubt that, but Freeze definitely is Santorum's guardian angel, having kept his campaign of wackiness afloat with untold infusions of cash. When Freeze was told that Santorum's recent caucus wins would prompt Mitt Romney's Triple R Richies to counterattack, he was thrilled. I think that is so exciting, he warbled. This is Jim Hightower saying, so there you have it. American politics has developed into a game for the fun and profit of a few super-rich narcissists.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is attorney and medical marijuana patient himself, Matt Abel.
The people are way ahead of the government and our elected officials in this. Even people who are not interested in marijuana, who don't use it, never have, and don't plan to at all, they believe that prohibition of marijuana should end, that it's counterproductive. It's not the way we want to spend, an ineffective way to control drug usage if that's what you're trying to do. That it just sends it into the black market, it makes the cartels wealthy, and sends our money out of Michigan.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Thanks for punching in this morning. I know that tomorrow is a busy day for Jeff. Whitney Houston's funeral will be streamed live on the internet. I would assume he'll be online all afternoon, blogging live.
Taping it, yep.
Taping it.
I can't believe, and I'll tell you, it didn't, like, hit me. It didn't make a difference in my life, but I felt a little, you know, like, oh, she gone too soon, and kind of it was respectful, because she's a talented woman, and again, you know, anytime someone dies. But within seconds of her dying, I saw some of the, you know, some friends of mine, not so it wouldn't be in the news, but just making the craziest jokes, and I'm like, okay. I mean, that's kind of odd for me.
Yeah, well, it's odd for me, too, and I obviously disrespectful, and certainly nothing I would participate in, but, you know, to each their own. To each their own. So, you know, Jeff, I got to tell you, because you've been with me through this whole Fecano thing from day one. At what point, as you and I were talking before the show this morning, at what point, even if Bob Fecano really didn't know any of this stuff was happening, doesn't it just say to you, and as you said this morning, I mean, doesn't it just say, and doesn't this just have incompetence written all over it?
Completely. There's, like I said, there's no way he can get out of, or they can even justify not calling for his head.
And we have a lot of audio, and we'll get to it all. But it's just, you know, it just begs some questions here. If he didn't know, again, incompetence. If he did know, then he needs to resign and he needs to be held accountable and through the legal system. With all these indictments coming down, and is the FBI saving the best for last? I just don't have the answer to that. Now, as we'll hear in some of the audio that we're about to play for you, the web of people involved is expanding quite rapidly. Let's start with the piece from WXYZ TV Channel 7. Ross Jones, this is what he had to say.
As chief information officer, Tahir Kazmi was one of Robert Fecano's top appointees. Today, he became a criminal defendant. FBI agents described Tahir Kazmi as anxious and nervous when they interviewed him in December. After listening to the charges against him today in court, Kazmi had good reason to feel nervous. Extortion, bribery, and obstruction of justice, say the feds, part of a scheme to shake down at least one vendor doing business with the county. In a complaint filed yesterday by the FBI, agents say he extorted a county vendor for as much as $90,000 in cash, trips to Turkey, Hawaii, and Florida, and even convinced the vendor to give his brother-in-law 49% interest in his company. Agents also say Kazmi engaged in a cover-up after he learned the feds were on his tail. According to the complaint, he tried to tell the vendor that the gifts he'd received were really just loans. Through an intermediary, he even tried to pay some of the money back. Today, Wayne County Commissioner Bernard Parker told 7 Action News that someone in Robert Fecano's administration had to know what Kazmi was up to.
I can't believe that people did not know that. I just don't believe that a person on that level could operate that way without someone being aware in the executive's office.
Also charged yesterday was Kazmi's subordinate at the county, Zaid Alaban. The FBI says he tried to obstruct their investigation by telling a county vendor that gifts and cash payments made to Kazmi were really just loans. He's expected to turn himself in soon. As for Kazmi, he had his passport taken from him today, and he's been told he can't travel outside of Michigan's Eastern District. He's out tonight on $10,000 bond. Reporting from downtown, I'm Ross Jones, 7 Action News.
You know, again, I'm not going to say that this is unfortunate. If this is indeed true, then, you know, the best is yet to come. I just, the corruption is just astounding. This next piece, as I said before the break, Commissioner Laura Cox, who is the only Republican on the Wayne County Commission, had plenty to say yesterday. This from WDIV Channel 4.
Today, I call on Bob Fecano to resign and let Wayne County move on forward to be the great county it can be.
Wayne County Executive Robert Fecano insisting he will not resign despite the growing scandal that's been swirling around Wayne County government.
Our Roger Weber has been covering this for us. He joins us now from downtown Detroit with the latest. Good evening, Roger.
Hi, Carmen. Commissioner Laura Cox directed some very tough words at Bob Pacano. She cited a timeline going back 3 years with various problems, ending with the breaking news this week that a Pacano aide has been charged with taking kickbacks. Laura Cox is the first Wayne County commissioner to publicly call for Bob Pacano to step down.
Mr. Pacano and his administration have given a black eye to public service in Wayne County.
Cox reeled off several names embroiled in the scandal, including Turkia Mullen and Azam Elder. She said Pacano empowered and created them.
He said there were no more severances, and then we found out he was hiding even bigger severances than Ms. Mullen's.
She's the only Republican on the commission. She accused the Pacano administration of corruption, incompetence, and pettiness.
We need a leader who's not someone hiding out in a bunker on the 31st floor. We need a leader who is man enough to come before this commission and answer our questions. We need a leader, man or woman, who is strong enough to lead this troubled county. We need a leader now, and that isn't Bob Pacano.
After the meeting, Commissioner Bernard Parker said he shares Cox's view, but most commissioners say it's too soon to ask Pacano to quit.
And I think that a person is innocent until proven guilty.
The easy thing to do politically now would be to call for Bob Pacano's head, ask Bob Pacano to step down. That's not what I intend to do just yet. But when I feel the time is right, if I have that opinion, I'll certainly share it.
And Pacano released a statement today saying that he is not resigning, that his administration is cooperating with federal authorities. And he says this of Cox's attack, quote, the actions taken by one commissioner today are simply a partisan attack and political posturing in an election year. Reporting live in Detroit, I'm Roger Weber, Local 4.
Just curious, Roger, how much does Bob Pacano's political future depend on Laura Cox?
Not very much, I think. I mean, it does keep the political heat up on Bob Pacano. Would be more significant if a majority of the commissioners, all the other ones are Democrats, if they would take a stand against him. That seems to be a long way off. Most of them would actually want to see a federal charge against him, and mm-hmm. That's not in the cards yet.
All right. Our Roger Weber reporting for us live.
All right. And so that's that. That's that. Jeff, before the show, you and I were talking. Listen, I'm a Democrat. You're a Democrat. Yet you, neither one of us had a problem with what Laura Cox had to say, did we?
No, because I don't think it's as partisan. I mean, you did mention that there is political behind what she's not completely. I mean, it's not entirely political based, but she, there is politics being played here in an election year. But for the most part, we both said that, Democrats should feel the same way. It's time for him, there's no way either he's incompetent or he is all part of this.
Yeah, there is no in between there. All right, last but not least, Charlie LaDuff. We wouldn't be able to do this without Charlie LaDuff, who led us to this place to begin with, spends a little time on the issue. Here we go.
But it's not just Laura Cox, the lone Republican commissioner. Late this afternoon, I spoke with Democratic Commissioner Bernard Parker. As head of the county's Ways and Means Committee, he's a very powerful player in all this.
You also think Bob should go?
Yeah, I think that at this point that he said the buck stops with him, so if other people are leaving like this and being indicted, then it's time for him to go. But I think that he definitely has to be contemplating what's best for Wayne County and not necessarily what's best for Bob.
The Democrats are running like, he's kryptonite to the Democrats?
I mean, I think we saw that when President Obama came in town. He didn't come to Wayne County. He went all the way up to Ann Arbor. Normally, he would have came into Detroit or Wayne County, and I think right now we have such a bad image right now that even the national politics don't want to have anything to do with us, and it's really hurting us in Wayne County. We need to move on.
And it's not just the White House that doesn't want Bob around. The stink of Wayne County corruption has rubbed off on presidential hopeful Mitt Romney, who's fading in the polls in his home state of Michigan. It turns out that Romney's co-national finance chairman, John Ricolta, is also caught up in the FBI probe here. Ricolta, a Republican, is a prominent Detroit developer who won the $300 million contract to build the new county jail. Turns out he's also a contributor to Bob, a member of Bob's finance host committee, and a contributor to that nonprofit business group that paid Turkia Mullen to lobby the county development czar, Turkia Mullen. We caught up with Romney today and asked him if he asked Ricolta to leave the campaign.
And my understanding is that he's helping in the investigation, not a target of it. So there's no culpability on his side so far as I'm aware. And stand by a guy who's a terrific guy and a great friend. He's helping in an investigation as one of the witnesses against potential wrongdoing, from what I understand.
Now, this just got dropped to me right now. It comes from Occultist People. I assume it's from him. It says, quote, while we have assisted the federal government in other criminal investigations, the federal government has not contacted Walbridge, his company, or me regarding its ongoing investigation of Wayne County, nor have we received any subpoenas.
That's interesting, though, but you have here a presidential candidate saying that he is aware of the FBI probe in Wayne County, and that to his knowledge, a man who once praised Bob Ficano, Ricolta, is now apparently ready to testify against
him. This is amazing, because this broke months ago, and you Romney knew this was going to be bare knuckles. And if there's any impropriety at all, why wouldn't you ask the man to step aside for the good of the campaign, especially at a time when everybody's looking to the government for help, and almost universally nobody trusts the government?
Now, again, I did find it interesting, and maybe it's just me, that Mitt Romney actually seemed to have a grasp of what was happening in Wayne County. Did you get that impression as well, Jeff? Because I certainly got the impression that Mitt Romney understood the issues.
He had a conversation, definitely, with this guy. I mean, obviously, it had to come about where he's like, hey, you know, somebody informed him this is going on, and this guy's being part of it. So they had a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about this. And we have some other stuff to get to as well. What are the pundits nationally saying about Michigan and where it all ties into the future of this campaign? I think you're going to be stunned when you hear what, of all places, Fox News had to say about Mitt Romney's chances if he loses Michigan. It's interesting. Very interesting. This is First Shift. We'll take the break and be back.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
John Zerlag, the city manager of Troy, joins us now.
Oftentimes, it's important to just, you know, not when someone slams you, not to actually make a slam back. Because I really believe that hostility is a sign of weakness. But essentially, to just set the record straight. It's important for the voting public and the businesses to know what the facts are in the matter. So if someone builds a false argument and then draws a conclusion, itself becomes faulty because the underpinning rationale is faulty.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show. Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back indeed. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Bob Ficano has his hands full. I can't fathom that when he goes home at night, he's having a nice relaxing evening with his girlfriend, saying, yeah, another tough day at the office, but we're really making progress. Things are going really well. I can't imagine those conversations are happening. The reality, and he of course knows what he did or didn't do, does or doesn't know. If he didn't know any of this stuff, how betrayed he must feel, and certainly I would feel bad for him in that regard, but you surround yourself with people you think you can trust. Ultimately, they are right. You heard Bernard Parker say it. The buck stops here.
Well, and we saw the videos before the show, and one of the people on the council or on the commission said, "Well, you know, we're going to reserve judgment. We're going to jump to the conclusions like Cox did." But say he's not involved, you still have to say step down because you know this is going on under your watch. We don't trust you. What's to say he brings in more people and they don't do the same thing? If he didn't know at all and he still is walking around clueless, he could bring in a whole new batch of people that do the same thing.
Yeah, again, this is so problematic. The question is, you know, I'm sitting here asking myself, is should he step down? And I think that when you stop, and I don't know what the succession plan is. I don't know what happens if he steps down, who then becomes the county executive. But that's something you have to think about. Let's say it's Jeffrey Collins, his new second in command, or first second in command. Jeffrey Collins certainly has a pedigree that you would trust, so I don't that I don't question. But he came in to basically, you know, to give some ethical credibility to the administration, and I don't know that that's working, to be honest with you. This is a mess, Jeff. This is just a mess. That's the problem, is it's a mess. And do you...
And then how does he survive it? If it's a mess...
I don't think he survives this. I think that when it's all said and done, he's gone. Whether it's from him resigning or him not running for re-election or he won't be re-elected. He's done. At some level, he's done. It's when and how is what needs to be answered.
Okay, so the issue is, should he do it himself, or should the people force him out?
Right. And well, yeah, that really is the question. Now, he, of course, is standing by, unbelievably, he's standing by himself, and he's saying, listen, no, I'm not going to resign because I've done nothing wrong, and until he can tell me I've done something wrong, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to admit anything. You know, I've stood here, I've taken the heat, I've changed the rules as they've needed to be changed. I'm responding to this. Damn it, leave me alone. Yeah, not so fast, Bob. Doesn't quite work like that. And that's the problem, Jeff, is it doesn't work like that. Just because you're responding to it doesn't excuse the fact that it happened, right? And as Laura Cox said, the one thing she said that really resonates with me is she said, he said that we had no more secret severance deals, and then we find out we had more and bigger secret severance deals.
That's the thing I was just going to say myself, is that's what stood out to me as well. Because he's, you know, if he said, well, I'm going to be responsible and take care of this and clean it up myself, or, you know, and show you that I can do my job, then why are you still trying to cover up these other ones? You know, you can bring it out and be like, all right, cleaning house now.
Yeah, well, again, this is a mess. This is this qualifies as however you want to define mess. This fits into that definition. No matter what your definition of mess is, this fits into that definition. I feel absolutely No, I don't feel bad for Bob Ficano in any way, shape, or form. I don't feel that he is having to deal with something that he shouldn't have to deal with. I don't feel like even if he didn't know this and he was betrayed, that you know, that this is a sad day for him. And unfortunately, part of being a leader is dealing with this kind of stuff. And this is big stuff. We're talking, you know, potentially millions upon millions of dollars. These corruption charges that keep on coming up represent millions upon millions of taxpayer dollars.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it seems by all means, we all, at least in my opinion, he's in it and involved, and he's just trying to you know, walk the fine line of not implicating himself so far. But is he making it worse? Like, if he just stepped down today and said, I'm out of the spotlight, you know, don't come to me anymore, I'm done, you know, somebody else take over. Or if he continues to deny that he ever knew anything, I mean, is he making it worse for himself? Or is it basically at this point, you know, might as well try and hang on because it's not going to get any worse?
Well, I don't know what the FBI knows, obviously. I think that he can't make it any better for himself. That's the problem. Again, we'll go back to the two scenarios that you and I have positioned this morning. If he didn't know, he's incompetent. If he did know, then he's an accomplice. So there's that's a no-win for him. If that, you know, what is the third option, Jeff? Seriously, what's the third option? Is there a third option?
No, yeah, I mean, it's not clean cut. Either he's, you know, incompetent or he's involved, and there's no third option there either. This is either, you know, he denies it or he steps aside. I mean, I guess he could come out and say, yep, knew it all along, and then continue to do the job until he goes to jail. I don't know. I mean, that third option doesn't seem...
And here's what's really troublesome for everybody. As they're implicating people and as they're charging people with these, the FBI, that is, with these crimes, Jeff, these are people that were top-tier people. These were first-tier executives in his administration. And that they were being so manipulative and so self-centered and so corrupt while so purportedly serving the county and serving the executive. Now, think about what these people have been charged with. And that they were able to come to work every day and play some kind of, no, everything's great game. I find it hard to believe that Bob Ficano isn't involved in some way. I find it really hard to believe that. Again, if he's not, what a fool, dude. What a fool that he was so naive that he allowed these people to just go unchecked. He doesn't deserve to be the executive. I can't fathom a scenario that he stays on. If he doesn't resign, if he can actually find some way to hang on until his term is up.
Well, think about how funny that, how ridiculous that would look, how bad it would look for Wayne County. And here's a guy who had a huge corruption thing. He claims ignorance and then happily stays in his job. What?
Yeah, I just, this is not making any sense. All right, we have to take a quick break here. Mel Grieshaber on the other side with the Michigan Correction Officers. We've got a great story to get to with them. We've got a local author, Occupy Detroit, so a lot to get to, but we do have to get to the break. First, this is First Shift. I am Tony Truppiano. Folks, a lot to do this morning. Stay where you're at.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking pretty good on the freeways at the moment. Southbound 75 at Springwells, we have an accident there on the right shoulder. Aside from that, we are looking just fine. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, a high in the lower 40s. Tonight, a chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy, a low around 31. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high in the upper 30s, a chance of snow in there as well. Right now, it's overcast and 35 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, the Dow is back up to its highest level since May 2008. CNN's Christine Romans has a best guess why.
The stock market is telling us that the jobless rate has been falling, and it's been telling us that little piece of signs of economic news have been stabilizing or getting better, except for housing. And overall, it's telling you that things aren't as dire and things are getting better.
President Obama told supporters in San Francisco last night that he's delivered on the change he promised in 2008. One example he said was GM's announcement that it had record profits last year.
Change is the decision we made to rescue the American auto industry from collapse, even when it wasn't popular. And some people said we should let Detroit go bankrupt with 1 million jobs on the line. I wasn't going to let that happen.
Shelling continued nonstop in the besieged city of Homs, Syria today, a day after the UN General Assembly passed a non-binding resolution condemning the government crackdown on dissent. Russia and China have voted against resolutions criticizing the Syrian regime. This Syrian activist, calling himself Danny, says those two countries will be remembered for their role in the slaughter of innocent people.
It's a crime against humanity. Russia and China will be dealt with that. What they did, they've got Syrian blood on their hands. This is all their fault.
The National Intelligence Director tells a congressional committee that Iran poses a significant threat to U.S. security. Congressman Peter King believes Iran is trying to figure out a way to stage an attack in the U.S.
We have to assume that Hezbollah would be the proxy for Iran and could well carry out the attack. I am convinced CIA, FBI, NSA, DIA, all of them, plus local police like the NYPD, are working 24-7 on this.
Mexico's president says if the U.S. will stop gun trafficking across the border, that would be the best thing Americans can do to clamp down on drug violence. President Felipe Calderon says the dramatic increase in Mexican gun violence is directly connected to the 2004 expiration of the ban on U.S. assault weapons. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Buy one, get one, and build your men's wardrobe at Macy's. Clearance suits from Michael Kors, Kenneth Cole, and more. Buy one at 50% off, get one free. Dress shirts and ties from Kenneth Cole Reaction, Jeffrey Beam, Michael Kors, and more. Buy one, get one free. Casual and dress pants from Haager, Perry Ellis Portfolio, Kenneth Cole Reaction, and more. Buy one, get one free. Buy one, get one at Macy's President's Day Sale. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Free item must be equal or lesser value. Exclusions apply.
Need to spruce up your bathroom? Take advantage of limited time values on special bath buys at Lowe's. Like a new Project Source Chrome bath faucet, now only $19. Or check out a Style Selections 24-inch Auburn vanity and matching mirror for only $199. And if you want to save money and water, pick up a Penguin dual flush toilet with overflow protection for just $148. That's a savings of $50. But hurry, supplies won't last long. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through 2/2012 while supplies last.
Imagine you're taking that vacation of a lifetime to another continent, and before you get on the flight back home, your airline financially goes under and you're stranded. That's the experience of many people this morning. 4,000 people who had bought tickets on budget airline Air Australia are stuck, many an entire ocean away from home, as the airline enters the Australian equivalent of bankruptcy reorganization. Ally Financial, the company formerly known as GMAC, is three-quarters owned by Uncle Sam, and it still owes taxpayers $17 billion from its bailout. But as Ally struggles, Reuters reports it's considering whether to cancel its planned stock offering and instead sell part or all of itself. Nice upside moves for most global stock markets today, as some investors bet Greece may get that many times delayed austerity deal finalized with Europe by Monday. Global gains also follow yesterday's rally on Wall Street. But we might not have an act too. S&P futures are flat. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
When I travel, I use WebEx for face-to-face meetings with clients online. We share documents and presentations, and they know, even though I'm not in the office, I'm always available to them. WebEx is awesome.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others, anytime, anywhere, on their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com.
Welcome to Wilkins Bank. For checking, press 1. Savings, press 2. For other options, press other options. Is that correct? Press 3. To go back. For checking, press 1. Checking. Is that correct? Mortgages. Lost or stolen ATM. For fraud.
If your bank won't let you talk to a real person 24/7 by pressing zero, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
What's better than getting something for a great price? Getting two things for that same great price. What we're trying to say is, it's buy one, get one free at Pearle Vision. So stop in and get two great pairs of eyeglasses or prescription sunglasses for the price of one. You're thinking, that's a great deal. And you're right. So don't wait. Stop into a Pearle Vision today.
Minimum purchase may apply. Second complete pair up to a maximum value. Maximum may vary. Same prescription. Valid prescription required. Valid only at participating U.S. locations. See store for details. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends 3/31/2012.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the sandstorms of the Mojave Desert, nor the dust and dirt of a Texas rodeo, nor the glare of the bright lights of Broadway can keep you from having the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for the mature eye care professional.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, folks. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Friday, the 17th day of February 2012. I have a disturbing story to start the show with today. This is a multi-pronged thing. We're going to work through some important issues, and so I'm going to get to my guest here in just a moment. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, at 7:35, local author Lisa Rivard will be with us to talk about her new children's book. And then at 7:50, Occupy Detroit occupies for a shift. But this next story that we're going to get into involves a variety of issues that deserve our attention. I'm going to ask that once again you pay attention. Remember, attention was the first word this morning. You need to pay attention to this first story. Joining me now to help us work through what we talked about earlier on in the program, which was not just about privatization of prisons, but some pay-to-play accusations that are out there with regard to a Republican lawmaker, is Mel Griesheimer. Mel is the Mission Corrections Organization's SEIU Executive Director. And he joins us today to talk about these issues and a new report that the MCO has out called the Real Risks to Residents and Taxpayers of Privatizing Prisons and Prison Services in Michigan. Mel, welcome back to the show. It's a pleasure to have you on this morning.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be back.
I don't like the reason we're here, but all things being equal, I think it's important that we have an honest dialogue about what's happening in the state of Michigan as it comes to our corrections officers, privatization, which we hadn't heard a lot about in a while. So this now rears its ugly head. Let me just start, Mel, if I could, with the idea of, there's so much to get to here, but I've got you for a nice period of time, so I think we can get to all of it. Let's talk about privatization for a moment. We're often sold this idea that privatization is a wonderful way to save the people of the great state of Michigan money, but I've read through the report. 20 questions to ask and everything in evaluating a privatization proposal, which I referenced, which, by the way, we can find at the website, which we'll get to in a moment. Is privatization something that we have been ignoring for too long, and should it merit some attention?
Absolutely. You know, it's actually a question that's been around a very long time through both Democratic and Republican administrations. You recall Engler in 1990 attacked Blanchard about how many personal contracts, how much private contracts were out there, and then lo and behold, after 12 years of John Engler, the contracts had never been higher, and we even had, I think some cutback, but still a lot of private contracts in the state of Michigan through the last administration, and it continues today now as well. We have big question marks about it, and I think what happens with privatization, you get to a stage where sort of policymakers, lawmakers intuitively think that it must save money. When in reality, I mean, it's a business. They're out making a profit. That's what they do, understandably. And all of a sudden, it takes a life of its own. So we have, you know, a couple $1 billion worth of personal contracts going right here in Michigan in a variety of areas of state government. And we think they absolutely need to be questioned, particularly in this day and age when everyone's out trying to save the taxpayers' money, as state employees are trying to do. The businesses should be looked at with a keen eye as well.
You know, and it's interesting because we're certainly, if I want to if I want to come in and save the day, I'm going to come into a state, and we'll use Michigan as an example. You know, and I want to help you privatize your prison system. I'm obviously going to have to promise you a whole lot. I mean, I've got to move the dial. I got to move the needle, Mel. I've got to make sure that my message resonates with you folks. But it's not like this is a new issue. So it's not like we don't have data that we can go take a look at in other states, if not our own, and say, okay, well, this is what happened when they privatized here and did it, in essence, save money. I'm not seeing the evidence that it does.
Yes, and it's been shown in regard to private prisons. There's a lot of examples across the United States. The report you referenced gives some examples of that across the United States. And I think, Tony, you'll notice that the report has multiple pages of footnotes and references so that folks who look at that can certainly go in and confirm what's being said in the report. So it's true across the United States that a lot of these companies ended up not being all that they thought. In fact, in some states, it costs more than what they thought it would be. I mean, we have Ohio as an example where after a while the prison in Youngstown, Ohio, they discovered was actually costing the state more than it was saving. We have lawsuits. We have nightmare stories in a lot of these private companies around the country that, when a company gets sued, it doesn't matter how much liability and how much insurance they have. Normally the state or the municipality, in the case of jails, for instance, in private jails, would they get sued as well. And so there's these nightmare stories all around the country, and we're seeing more and more that the evidence is just not there in regard to savings of these private companies. Again, I say it's sort of like I think decision makers intuitively think it must save money, but the evidence just isn't there. We have more directly evidence that a private prison didn't work here in Michigan. As you may recall, we did have a private prison here. It was a youth prison. It was in Baldwin, Michigan. It was built and opened by the Wackenhut Corporation, who later sold it to the Geo Group. That prison opened in 98 or 99, and it was closed in 2005, after 7 years, by the Granholm administration and the legislature at that time. That was after an auditor general report indicated that the prison was operating, costing the state. We had 33 prisons out of 37 in those days. We don't have that many now, but 33 of the state prisons were cheaper than the Geo prison. I mean, so that was closed down. The contract was discontinued, I should say. And so that was a 500-bed facility, and it failed. And now we're right back to the same spot where the Geo Group has now tripled the size, invested in that prison, and are trying to get another contract to cover their investment.
Well, this group, the GEO group, this is now where we come into a little bit of a controversy with a state legislature by the name of John Bumstead, who received a very handsome donation to his campaign of $500 from an executive from that very corporation 10 days before Said State Rep Bumstead proposes some legislation that would be that would work in favor of the GEO group. Certainly enough to raise eyebrows, if not much more, Mel.
Well, you know, it's, you know, money is involved in politics. It always has been, and these businesses are very aggressive as in that game. We know that, for instance, in Florida. The GEO Group, by the way, is stationed in Florida. That's where their corporate headquarters is, where a big prison privatization fight just failed. A couple of days ago, the state Senate, Republican Senate, voted against allowing privatization of 27 prisons down there, and it had been a very long debate and over the last year and a half, and it passed the House in Florida, and it failed in the Senate just a couple days ago because of a lot of this kind of controversy around GEO. But we found that in Florida, the GEO Group and other private companies, Corrections Corporation of America, had contributed almost $2 million to local politicians in the last election cycle. The previous election cycles, it was in the neighborhood of $100,000. So you can see when they are really hungry for business that that investment takes is a picture of contributions as well. So it's not atypical. I think you're going to see a lot of that. And you know that with the Citizens United ruling by the Supreme Court a few years ago that allows corporations to no limits in contributing to campaigns as long as they don't coordinate, there's that kind of activity that's going on. Of course, we're seeing that in the presidential race right now on the Republican side with these super PACs. So it should be no surprise to anyone that these business interests will do anything they can to get business from a public entity.
Well, again, as we get ready to take a break here, Mel Griesaber, I will tell this audience when we come back, you know, we're going to kind of walk through some of the more important issues, you know, safety, you know, the staffing, experience, and, you know, what's happening. I think it's important that we delineate what's happening in these private prisons as opposed to what's happening in the state prisons, you know, things that would obviously matter to everybody that listens to this show. By the way, I want to point out as we go to break, our state prison population is at record lows. And so the question is, why are we proposing legislation that would open a prison when it's not needed? Or maybe it is. Mel, get to that when we come back. I am Tony Trupiano. I appreciate you being with us. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. Let's take a quick break, and we'll get to much more information on the other side. Stay with us, please.
First Chip with Tony Trupiano.
The world is changing, so I don't know if really hardcore conservative Americans are wielding the influence that they once did.
On 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, 96 to Jeffries eastbound before Livernois. We have a disabled vehicle there on the left shoulder, but the cops are there to help them out, so that might cause some gawker delays because everybody likes to look at the cops. 35 southbound between 14 mile and 12 mile, you're going to find some delays heading to that construction zone. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, today mostly sunny, high in the lower 40s. Tonight, a chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy, a low around 31. Then tomorrow, we're looking at some snow, maybe some rain mixed in as well. Mostly cloudy, a high near 39. Right now it's overcast and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
I've got an article in front of me that says foreclosure settlement total to state up to almost $800 million. And Curtis Hertel Jr., who is the Register of Deeds in Ingham County, joins us now. Let's talk about what this particular settlement is about.
What it has to do with is the some of the improper practices in the servicing of mortgages and selling of mortgages in the mortgage industry. It's only with the five major banks, which is a reduction from the rumored settlement that was supposed to include MERS and their actual document mills. And that's a good thing, actually. Also, there's no criminal immunity in this. So it only actually limits what states can actually sue for. Yeah, I'm not saying I support the settlement because, you know, in many ways, the devil's in the details. And until we actually figure out exactly what teeth are in the settlement and everything that's included, there's a lot of questions to be asked. But I do want to say there are some positive things, and this does not mean our fight's over.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. My guest again, Michigan Corrections Organization's SEIU Executive Director Mel Grieshaber is with us. We're talking about legislation that would allow for the opening of a privatization of opening of a prison. I want to ask the first question I want to ask, Mel. Do we need another prison open? I'm kind of curious why we are already even talking about opening a prison if our prison population is at an all-time low.
Well, as the prison population has dropped over the recent years, it's dropped from a high of just a few years ago, 51,000 prisoners, and we're down now just under 43,000 prisoners. So that's a dramatic drop in the prison population. We also know that intake is down as well. So the judges are not sending as many criminals to prison. So you're right. We have a need. In fact, many, as I'm sure your audience is aware, over the last few years, many prisons have closed and prison camps. For instance, we no longer have any prison camps in Michigan. And years ago, we had up to 25 prison camps. So the population is down. Indeed, the director of corrections, Dan Hines, testified last year before the budget committee that when asked about this, he indicated, he said, we don't need more beds in this state because we are closing some units even around the state because of that decline in prisoner population. So it is a big question. It appears that it's to hand over, maybe even bail out a particular company, and the bills are narrow basically to this company, which is very unusual. The bills basically say the Department of Corrections is allowed to contract either the GEO or any other private prison company that is in Weber Township, Lake County. Well, there's only one in Weber Township in Lake County. It's already been built, of course, as I reviewed earlier, and it's sitting there empty, and it's owned by the Geo Group. So, I mean, it's a little disingenuous to even say that it could, or any other company that might own it. I mean, what, is Geo going to go sell it to CCA, Corrections Corporation of America, a competitor, and have them be contracted by the state of Michigan? So it's there's questions about no bidding process and all of that in there, but that even aside, we're most reasonable people are opposed to the whole idea of a private prison for a variety of reasons. But population is down, and in fact, there's always a possibility, probably if we keep this trend, that another public prison would close anyway. We had the Mound Correctional Facility closed just last month in the Detroit, in Detroit, as you may know.
Right.
So you know, that is evidence of that there's no need for as much bed space.
I want to, going back to this report that I've been referencing, I want to give people an opportunity to go take a look at it. Mel, and the website they can go to is mco-seiu.org. That's www.mco-seiu.org. It's right on the front page. You can't miss it, folks. I don't have to even explain it. It's all right there. It'll make sense to you once you get there. Very easy to read, to download and read, and I would recommend that folks do that and share it with others so that they understand this issue, and more importantly, they get a foundational understanding of the economics involved here. You read this stuff, Mel, and all of a sudden, because it's not something that's a part of our everyday dialogue, the papers don't write about it, the TV stations don't do stories on this, other radio stations don't enumerate this stuff. So, you know, I wouldn't expect people, Mel, to understand what's going on. But with that said, I do think that it would benefit people to go ahead and read this report, because what they're going to find out is this quote-unquote ability to save money is actually ripe with the potential to actually cost a great deal of money.
Yeah, I think any person, any taxpayer, any citizen that's concerned about his or her own taxes should be interested in things like this. And I know it's a little bit in the weeds, but it's an important thing. Corrections, unfortunately, is one of the more costly aspects of government. You're pretty hostage to that. Keeping citizens safe is, and we're a part of that criminal justice community, is pretty costly business. And it's behind the walls, unseen. People want the bad guys locked up, but once you're behind the walls, they kind of forget about it in some ways. So, and then I think not just people of good conscience should also look at a report like this, because there's even some, not just philosophical, but some moral issues involved with private prisons in regard to housing for profit criminals. There's a lack of transparency in these companies. They are not obligated under the Freedom of Information Act, as are the public institutions. We know that from U.S. Bureau of Justice Assistance studies that in private prisons experience 49% more assaults on staff, 66 more assaults between inmates than in public facilities. There's lower officer to inmate ratios. Do you remember that correctional officers are the police force in a prison? And they get hurt a lot, protecting the staff and inmates from inmates, but that's where they get hurt mostly, is stopping fights and those types of things. They get hurt more often like that. So they're the police force, and if you ever really talk to prisoner advocate groups, they acknowledge that correction officers are the police force, and they're protecting their loved ones from each other. It's a challenging environment, as everyone would guess. So there's a lot of issues involved with these types of situations.
Now, again, you know, when we talk about privatizations, one of the things that that always comes to my mind, and whether it's corrections or anything else, is is always education and training. And I would think that that's, you know, when we talk about money, that's if I'm running a private corporation, the first thing that's going to go is education and training. Of all the places we don't want that to go away, I would think corrections would be one of them. Am I wrong in suggesting that that is what's happening?
You're absolutely on the mark. Michigan has, it's one of the top two or three states with training and education and training for correctional officers. We have a correctional officer academy. We have one half a year, one semester of college credit required, and those types of things, and ongoing in-service training as well. The private prisons don't have that kind of training. There's a variety of things. That's why you have staff hurt more often. That's why you have high turnover. High turnover rates occur in private prisons across the country. It's due to a variety of factors. One of them is the obvious. They pay them dramatically less wages and benefits, and those are kind of obvious. But the other thing is the safety and inside working in that kind of a challenging environment. And they're chronically understaffed. They have high turnover rates. Indeed, it was said that the GEO group back in the prison that was here in Michigan had a 30-40%.
Yeah.
Turnover rate.
Mel, we're just out of time. I want to remind people one more time, if they go to the web, mco-seiu.org, all of the stuff is there. Mel, we'll visit again very soon. Thanks for so much of your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
All right, Mel Grieshaber again with the Michigan Corrections Organization. A quick break here. Local author Lisa Rivard on the other side.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Got some heavy traffic, 96 eastbound between Wixom Road and Beck Road. Southbound 35 between 14 mile and 12 mile through that construction zone. You'll find some delays too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high in the lower 40s. Tonight, a chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy, a low in the lower 30s. And then Saturday, a chance of snow, then a chance of rain and snow, then a chance of snow again. Follow along, mostly cloudy, a high in the upper 30s, and then on Sunday, mostly sunny, a high near 33. Right now it's overcast and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Wisconsin progressives, labor activists, and grassroots supporters of Governor Scott Walker's recall commemorated the one-year anniversary of last February's historic protests this week. Those protests, including a weeks-long occupation of Wisconsin's state capitol, were the largest sustained pro-labor protests in U.S. history. As more than a million recall signatures against Walker are reviewed and validated, the Wisconsin AFL-CIO is out with a report called Losses to Working Families Under Governor Walker. The Labor Federation says Walker campaigned promising to create jobs, but instead has become job killer in chief. Wisconsin has lost jobs 6 months in a row. At one of the rallies marking the Wisconsin uprising's one-year anniversary, Democratic State Representative Peter Barca expressed the determination of the grassroots Wisconsin uprising.
1 year later!
Yeah. 1 year stronger!
1 year stronger!
Yeah.
You know, Governor Walker predicted that eventually we would come to accept his changes.
Yeah.
He thought in 6 months we would forget.
Yeah.
Governor Walker, not in 60 years would we forget.
Yeah.
A big rally is planned for March 10th at the Capitol in Madison. The one-year longer, one-year stronger actions this week in the Reclaim Wisconsin bus tour of the state, culminating in that March 10th rally, are meant to reconvene the empowered community that launched Wisconsin's Capitol occupation and statewide protests last year. It's expected to reinvigorate the solidarity and spirit of cooperation of the historic grassroots Wisconsin uprising as the recall election against Governor Walker draws near.
Hundreds of nurses at McLaren Greater Lansing Hospital in Michigan have voted to stay loyal to their union, the Office and Professional Employees International Union, an independent nurses group challenged the OPEIU representation. OPEIU 459's Joseph Marudiak.
There was a group of independent nurses who attempted to raid this group and to convince them that they would be better off in an all-nurses union, and that OPEIU, since we have other professionals in our union, wasn't the right place for nurses. And the nurses soundly rejected that and decided that OPEIU is good representation for them.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Triano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour, a good friend of mine, Ken Lampar, reached out to me last week, told me about a local author, wrote a children's book, which I loved, by the way. Because it asks and answers some questions. The book is titled "I Am Stumped," and joining us now is Lisa Rivard. Lisa was born and raised here, right in Southeast Michigan, in New Baltimore, more specifically. Throughout her life, she has enjoyed working with children in many different capacities, including as a teacher, coach, and principal. She earned her teaching degree from Michigan State University and her administration degree from Oakland University, and most recently completed a Ph.D. in instructional technology from Wayne State University. Currently, Lisa's employed at the Language Arts as a language arts consultant and assists regional schools in developing effective literacy plans. She's here today to talk to us about her brand new book titled "I Am Stumped," and we welcome Lisa Rivard to First Shift. Lisa, pleasure to have you with us this morning.
Thanks so much, Tony. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you and your audience this morning.
And certainly we want to say a big hello and a shout-out to Colleen Marie Fisher, who is, of course, the illustrator of this book, and we wouldn't want to forget her because she did a beautiful job.
She should be on her way to school this morning. She's a teacher out in Livonia Public Schools.
Oh, wonderful. Very good. Well, you know, obviously you've dedicated your life to empowering young people to the wonders of education. I don't think it comes as a surprise to me anyway, Lisa Rivard, that you wanted to write a children's book. What was it about this particular topic that piqued your interest?
You know, I served a long time as a teacher, a principal, curriculum director in a large district here in Michigan, out in Utica Community Schools. And in my experiences in all of those roles, young children are so impressionable. And in my experience in the elementary schools, they really look to adults to help guide and kind of shape their lives. And so it's a great opportunity that I see to, as another adult in the community, to help try to structure that format, and obviously reading is the number one way to get to the heart of kids.
Well, the main character in your book, I Am Stumped, is a young man named Aiden, and I won't make you suffer through my characterization of the book. I'll let you do it, Lisa. Tell us what Aiden has to go through.
You know, Aiden's a young boy, and he's experiencing a common problem that most children, if not all children, experience. And that's the idea that when there's three in a crowd, that often two kids pair up and they leave the third child left out, and that third child often feels sad and confused and obviously stumped. And so Aiden goes through a series of events, both at home and school, where he's left out. And he tries to work towards problem solving himself. He has a series of adults in the story that kind of help him build the confidence to go and approach the children and really ask why they're leaving him out.
Yes, and I will let people. I don't want to give it away, so we're gonna let them know where to get the book, and then they can sit down with their kids and find out on their own. It was really well done, and I don't have little kids anymore, Lisa, but I can see where this is something that would really help, especially if this situation were to happen. And I think that you're right. Very few young people haven't experienced that, and of course at that age, you know, it's easy to pair off, go off into twos, and to think, oh my gosh, we're in our, you know, on the playground or even in the classroom, you know, you're doing a crafts project. We're in our own little world, and so it's easy to leave somebody out, and it may not necessarily be a deliberate thing, and it may not even be meant to be harmful. But when it's happening to you, Lisa, and I think that's the point we need to make here, when it's happening to you and you're the odd one out, well, it can hurt, can it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's about teaching kids to be empathetic towards one another. And it's really teaching all readers of the book that as a society, we have to be more respectful to one another in a community.
Well, tell us a little bit about where can we, is the book out and where can we find it and all that good stuff?
The book is going to be out in 2 weeks on March 1st, and it'll be out just in time for March's Reading Month. And I can be found at iHeartWriting on Facebook. That's my Facebook page. And then the book can also be found at lisarivardbooks.com and also through my publisher, which is Nelson Marketing and Publishing. And that's a great little publishing company out of Northville. They are really well known for making books that make a difference in the community. My little phrase with them is they make they produce books that really have a heart and a message to them and make the world a better place, kind of one book at a time. I've also partnered with ice cream, local ice cream company here out of Michigan. It's Hudsonville Ice Cream, and they've just released on their website this morning a reading contest. It's open to all children in the state of Michigan and beyond. And basically what it is, if you go to HudsonvilleIceCream.com, click on the link, it'll produce a reading log for children. They read 5 days a week for the month of March, every day for the month of March. They will be entered into a contest, and that contest has some great prizes. The first one is a whole summer full of ice cream. And so it's a random drawing. And then the second prize is an ice cream party for themselves and 99 other friends and family members. So,
now, well, of course, I read the book, so I know why ice cream is an important part of this.
I think ice cream is probably an important message within the book, too. It makes everybody happy, and, you know, just as reading does. So.
Absolutely. And obviously, beyond this book, I am stumped, and I know that the process must have been empowering for you, Lisa Rivard. I would think that there are probably others in the offing. I mean, you know, so do you have other ideas for other books?
I do, and I'd like to develop the characters more. Colleen Marie Fisher has done a great job at helping me with the characterization within the book and really bringing the characters to life. And, you know, the important thing for me is that the social issues within the story I really brought to a bigger level, and I'm going to be talking to several schools in the Metro Detroit area over the next few months, really about the message in the book and also about the importance of reading. And with, Emergence Reading Month coming closer, just a reminder to everyone that reading with your children every day is a very important habit, whether it's this book or any other book.
Yep, but couldn't agree more. And I have three kids, did a lot of reading in our house, and it's important. And I don't know, Lisa, I'm just really proud of what you've done. You've written an important book. I like the way that you've written the adults in the book, the dad and the principal specifically, just very compassionate, open-minded people, and obviously gives you an opportunity to develop other storylines. You know, everybody should have a dad like Aiden, no question that's true, and a principal like Aiden, there's no question that's true. And you've done a really beautiful job, and you and Colleen should be very, very proud of what you've done. We'll make sure that we get information up, and we'll remind people as we get to the beginning of March, that the book is out there, that it's available, they can purchase it, because what a wonderful thing. I hope you get a chance to do some book signing. If you do do some book signings, Lisa, would you please let us know so that we can promote that for you?
That's great. Actually, you had mentioned Ken Lempar, the director of the Macomb Literacy Partners. They are actually having a wonderful Macomb Literacy fundraiser on March 6th. It's at Dino Cicerelli, former Red Wing. And Dino has offered up his restaurant and sports bar for an evening of wonderful celebration, and I will be there signing books for the Macomb Literacy Partners and Ken Lempar. So thank you very much for your time this morning.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. Again, the book is I Am Stumped, the author Lisa Rivard, again, the illustrator Colleen Murray Fisher. folks. It's a beautiful story about a beautiful little boy, and I think it helps to solve some problems. Lisa, thanks so much, and we'll visit again, I'm sure.
Wonderful. Have a great morning, Tony.
Very good. The link, by the way, is up on our Facebook page, so folks, go check it out, and Jeff and I will hopefully remember as we get closer to March 1st to repost that stuff. Jeff, what a nice lady. What a cool. Did you end up reading the book? I know that you had a chance. I know that you had it as well. I read it because I was doing the interview.
Right, I flipped through it.
Okay.
I didn't go page by page. I had other things, but yeah, it looks like if I had a kid, I would want this book for them.
I mean, it took me 7 minutes to read. So I just, it's a kid's book, so.
Oh, so now it's a contest.
No.
You want me to go 6 minutes and 30 seconds?
No. It's not. In fact, that's the last thing is a contest. Why would we want to make an anti-bullying book a contest? That would be counterintuitive.
Are you stumped because me and Anthony are over in this room and you're over there?
I'm stumped because I'm not sure if you're eating tuna right now.
Oh, I'm not. Not eating anything.
You're not eating anything? Were you eating something?
Not at all.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have our staff meeting today because I have to go off and be selfish.
I was trying to make a point that I'm not eating anything at all this morning.
Actually, Anthony told me yesterday that he's going to boycott eating, period, today.
In protest?
Ask Anthony, did you not tell me that you were going to boycott eating today?
Yes, I'm not eating breakfast at all for the whole weekend.
So, it's now I got to feel bad.
Is he ever up for breakfast on the weekends?
Yes.
Okay, so this will be a boycott with some emphasis.
Well, in all fairness, he's actually going away for the weekend, so I will have no way of knowing if he kept his word. Now, I will say that he will. I'll trust him, but
What time is considered not breakfast anymore? Would that be like
noon?
Noon.
Well,
11 is like brunch.
Then I'm great then.
All right. Because you won't be up. That's why you're great. I Am Stumped is the name of Lisa Rivard's book. Again, well, we've got the link on the website. On our Facebook page, so you'll want to go check that out. When we come back, Josh Hyman with Occupy Detroit will occupy first shift. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll continue right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff sent me a list of tweets in response to Rick Santorum's three victories last night. My favorite one is the very first one from Philip Klein. All these people are Republican strategists or tied to the Republican Party in some way. Philip Klein says, breaking, Ann Romney tells Heckler, my husband can't blanking throw the ball and catch it at the same time. I actually laughed out loud, Jeff, when I read that one.
Me too.
That was actually very fun.
First Shift with Tony Triana
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. Indeed, it is that time, and we turn our attention once again to Josh Hyman. Josh is becoming a regular, and I have no complaints on that at all. Josh, pleasure to have you back on First Shift.
Oh, hey, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. I think this is, the third or fourth time in the last couple weeks.
I think so.
Happy to have you. Today, talk a little bit about education. What's on your mind?
Yeah, well, this is an issue that I'm sure that you've touched on a bunch of times. And, you know, everyone across the country has started to notice at least a small piece of this. I'm sure you've talked about a lot of the pieces on your show, but this is, of course, a big, big issue that goes right to what America is. And so far, there's been no real national organized effort that's big enough to fight back, which is where I hope that Occupy and your listeners can come in. I hope so. This is the issue that got me into politics when I was 14, and it's a ticking time bomb for the country, and it's all about the 1% stealing every last right and every last resource from the 99%. So I want to talk about public schools for a second. So everyone, you know, has an opinion on the subject, and most people just sort of blame, you know, the schools, quote unquote, which is horrible because it means that the PR campaign to cover up how badly the Republicans have screwed up and are still screwing up our schools is working like a charm. Right? So just to give some of your listeners a little background, even though I'm sure some of them know the story way better than I do, since the 70s and in some places before that, state legislatures have been systematically defunding the public schools. Why? Basically because they're being evil and short-sighted. Kindergartners don't take to the streets demanding their education, and teachers don't write big campaign checks. And it takes a lot of money to run quality schools. And as the states have been dropping the ball, that goes to local school districts to make up that stolen money and pay for inflation and school repairs and new textbooks and kids moving in, et cetera. And the local school districts have to pick up the ball that the state dropped, but, you know, your Rochester Hills may be able to pay that money locally. Your Detroit can't, and your Royal Oaks are having a really, really hard time. And used to make an investment in education, we got a lot for our dollar. We won the Cold War. We put a man on the moon. We built the auto industry. We invented computers and the internet and so much more. But states have made this decision that they're not going to chip in for the last 40 years. And now we're looking at a very different America. This is not at some point in the distant future. My brother is 17. I'm 28. And kids his age had a very different public education than kids my age. That's how fast it's moving. You know, it's cliche how bombed out our schools are. I'm not going to harp on that. But this is the part that really makes me mad. So what do conservatives do? Starting in the early 90s, they start pointing the fingers publicly at these poor school districts that they made poor, and these teachers that they're paying nothing, and they say, you're the problem, right? You're failing our kids. And so what's the solution? Well, obviously, it's the private sector. We get this unholy trinity of Republican educational solutions. We get charter school, school vouchers, and these hyper-standardized tests like in No Child Left Behind. Charter schools, don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming parents who send their kids there. You can't even blame the people who work there or the people who run them. People want a better option. The problem is how they're structured, right? First of all, by and large, nationally, they don't get better results than, you know, public schools that they're compared to. And as a movement, they actually wind up being this, you know, surprisingly deliberate effort to eat public schools from the inside out, especially in poor minority areas. The main problem is that they wind up being taxation without representation. Usually the state approves the school, right? But then the local school district has to pay the money. Usually when the state approves it, it's this Republican governor, Republican legislature, and it's almost always a rubber stamp. How do I know this? So in New York, I was president of the SUNY Student Assembly for a year, so I sat on the SUNY Board of Trustees, which the Republican governor appointed all of his people to, and he made them responsible for approving charter schools just because he'd appointed them. I mean, it's SUNY, it's a state university. They have no real business doing K-12, but it was ideological. So one of the days I'll never forget, the Albany, New York School District ran a referendum of their people where they got 80-some-odd percent of the people saying, please, no more charter schools. You're taking all of our money. They sent the mayor to do the plea on their behalf. They came down to us on bended knee, and they pleaded with us to stop making new charter schools. It was bankrupting the regular schools. And everyone but me wound up listening, nodding their head, and then voting for the new schools right to the city's face. It's not ultimately about helping people. It's about privatizing schools. And the standardized tests, of course, don't help. Those are being used to punish schools for being poor. They basically help them get shut down, privatized, or turned into charter schools. We're going to need to dig in and reverse course because they are systematically getting rid of the public education system that we worked so hard as a country to construct and that educated all of us. And I think we take for granted how secure we think that system is going to be in the long term, but we are seeing it dissolved in front of our eyes.
Well, you know, Josh, there's no question, you know, when we take a look at the way that we, even curriculum, we have people, we have administrators, the superintendents that have never taught in a classroom. You know, we have administrators that have never taught in a classroom, and who is it that they don't invite to the table? Teachers, and I always have found this point to be so disturbing. Everybody, right. Those that are criticizing education, for the most part, have never served in any capacity that you could call them an educator.
Right, exactly. It's like if you had nobody involved in the military, in government. And we were making decisions about the Pentagon. It is a really tough situation. And what I did see when I was in New York is they do work hard to keep teachers and parents out of the equation. They cherry pick these, and this is the most sinister part to me. They play off the middle class against the poor and against minorities because they use these charter schools as a wedge issue, saying, "Well, why don't you want students to have this other option?" Meanwhile, that other option is saving a few people and cannibalizing the entire system.
Josh, unfortunately, we're out of time. You're such a great guest. We need to get you on at some point where we've got a little more than 8 minutes to spend together. But certainly the Occupy movement obviously going to be front and center in this fight, and happy to hear that. We got to take a break. Joe DeSano, when we come back. Josh Hyman, thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back.
Teen 10. 1410 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We have a disabled vehicle partially blocked in the left lane, the Lodge southbound right near the ramp to Telegraph, so keep an eye for that. Aside from that, we are looking pretty good. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high near 41. Tonight, a chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy, a low around 31. Then Saturday, we're looking at some snow in the morning, then a chance of rain and snow in the late morning and early afternoon, and then mostly cloudy, a high near 39. Right now it's overcast and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, the Libyan regime was killing civilians and the world stepped in. The Syrian regime is doing the same thing, but so far, nothing from the international community. Why not? CNN's Arwa Damon's in the besieged city of Homs, Syria, and reports that's what residents there are asking.
Everyone is asking the question of what is it that the international community is waiting for to take aggressive action against the government? What is that magic number? What is the death toll that has to materialize on the ground here for the world to really rally and do something that is actually going to make a difference?
Iran's nuclear ambitions front and center for the United Nations. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says it's time for Iran to step up to the plate.
The onus is on Iranian side to prove, to convince the international community that their nuclear development program is genuinely for peaceful purposes.
The feds are making some recommendations to encourage car makers to limit driver distractions caused by all their electronic gizmos. CNN's Lizzie O'Leary tells us it applies to gadgets that come with the car.
This is cutting down on what you can do when you have a factory installed gadget. So things that already come in your car, not the cell phones you're taking in, but they want to cut down on what people can do. Maybe you only look at something for a couple of seconds before you drive down the road.
A private high school in Santa Fe, New Mexico is implementing a new random drug testing policy next fall. If a student at St. Michael's tests positive, he or she will have 100 days to clean up. If not, they're out. School principal San Govea explains why the policy is needed.
We're just trying to develop some refusal skills for our kids as we continue to attack our little war on drugs.
The Dow opens this morning at a nearly four-year high, and the Nasdaq opens at its highest point in more than a decade. Analysts say it's because of good economic signals at home and abroad. The U.S. markets are closed Monday for President's Day. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
January, February, March.
February?
Oh, you might not speak social media, but I do. And my business does too. It's February, the month that my social media actually started working, thanks to Constant Contact.
So it's email?
No, it's a brand new social media tool. Introducing Social Campaigns, a new free tool that turns your fans into real paying customers. Sign up today at ConstantContact.com and you could win $1,000 for you and a fan.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to legal residents of the U.S., UK, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Hence, 229 call for rules at ConstantContact.com.
This weekend at the Home Depot, get a Delta Zella Chrome Bath Faucet for just $69. With its beautiful water-saving design, it looks as good on a water bill as it does on a sink. And since it's part of our saving spectacular, it also looks like a great opportunity to update the whole bathroom, thanks to hundreds of other get-it-done savings on vanities, tile, lighting, and more. So come kick off your doing with a Delta Zella Chrome Bath Faucet for just $69. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
As the U.S. employment landscape keeps changing, there is one change that's coming as a surprise to many. The share of American workers in the science and engineering fields is shrinking. New census data find those jobs accounted for 4.9% of the U.S. workforce in 2010, down from 5.3% in 2000. It's the first time the share of science and engineering jobs has slipped over a decade since 1950. Thousands of vacations gone bad down under. Budget airline Air Australia has entered voluntary administration. That's the Australian equivalent to Chapter 11. But without warning, it also has canceled all flights, leaving 4,000 passengers stranded in places as far-flung as Thailand and Hawaii. Ally Financial has made no firm decisions yet, but Reuters reports it's considering whether to sell its auto financing division, its banking division, or the whole operation, it still owes Uncle Sam $17 billion in bailout money. S&P futures gaining 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
When I travel, I use WebEx for face-to-face meetings with clients online. We share documents and presentations, and they know, even though I'm not in the office, I'm always available to them. WebEx is awesome.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Welcome to Wilkins Bank. For checking, press 1. Savings, press 2. For other options, press other options. Is that correct? Press 3. To go back. For checking, press 1. Checking, is that correct? Mortgages. Lost or stolen ATM. For fraud.
If your bank won't let you talk to a real person 24/7 by pressing 0, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
What's better than getting something for a great price? Getting two things for that same great price. What we're trying to say is, it's buy one, get one free at Pearle Vision. So stop in and get two great pairs of eyeglasses or prescription sunglasses for the price of one. You're thinking, that's a great deal. And you're right. So don't wait. Stop into a Pearle Vision today.
Minimum purchase may apply. Second complete pair up to a maximum value. Maximum may vary. Same prescription. Valid prescription required. Valid only at participating U.S. locations. See store for details. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends 3/31/2012.
Wearing glasses with Prizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the sandstorms of the Mojave Desert, nor the dust and dirt of a Texas rodeo, nor the glare of the bright lights of Broadway can keep you from having the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Prizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Prizal. Ask for the mature eye care professional.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Triviano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Triviano.
And welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday, the 17th day of February. Now, I got to tell you, as we go into today's show, I'm a little concerned about something because last week, Jeff Radford, God bless you, Jeff, put together a special opening for Joe DeSano. And it involved Whitney Houston's song. She ended up dying a couple days later. I'm not accusing you of killing her by any measure, but I'm a little afraid of what music we'll be playing during Joe's open today because I don't want to see anybody else die.
I think you should blame Governor Snyder for that one. He's the one who invoked it. He started it all with his state of the state.
Yeah. I believe our children are the future. All right, I'm a little, again, I'm a little, do we have an open for Joe for today? All right, let's just go ahead and play it and cross our fingers. Go ahead.
With his razor-sharp precision, First Shift welcomes back Michigan's most informed political insider.
Let's go back in the good old Wayback Machine to the 2010 campaign and marvel at how adept the governor was at being elusive on issues. He was allowed to portray himself as a moderate, as a genial, nice guy, nerd.
Partner in Main Street Strategies, Mr. Joe DeSano.
Well, I'm going to say that we've played this open before, and no one died, so I'm going to assume it's a good one. Joe DeSano, welcome back to First Shift.
Well, I just hope I'm not the one who dies now since my voice was in the open.
No, because, again, this is not the first time we've played that or others, so it just happened to be the Whitney Houston thing, so we're gonna just...
Do you have any music associated with the Kardashian sisters?
I can't say that. Yeah, I can. I wish we did. No, we don't. No, we don't. Good morning, Joe. Pleasure to have you with us.
Good morning, my friend.
Politibomb.
Politibomb. Yeah, that's my new podcast.
Yeah, I get this press release, folks, and underneath it, it says, not as good as two guys named Joe, but hey, it's free. First of all, I listened to some of it, not all of it this morning. I did listen to some of it this morning, very early this morning, and it is just fine. So don't do that to yourself. Tell us a little bit about Politibomb and what you hope to accomplish with it, where we can find it and all that good stuff.
Well, you can find it at politibomb.com. It's a partnership between a Republican consultant and myself. The Republican's name is Jake Davidson. He's formerly of Americans for Prosperity, so clearly we have a difference of opinion when it comes to the issues of politics. But I think we have a lot to agree on how, you know, you go about running a campaign, you go about interacting with people in politics, and we're going to talk about those kind of experiences, talk about how to apply the lessons learned to current situations. The one we recorded last week, we dealt a lot about the hoaxer situation, perhaps not all that different than our conversations, although it's good to get a Republican political operative's perspective on these things. I'm sure this week we'll talk about, you know, even more of the blowback that's happened in the U.S. Senate race. And, of course, we'll be touching on the presidential race in depth. And, you know, like I said, Jake brings a Republican and conservative perspective to things that I think are interesting. And both of us are pretty honest and open guys. So what we're trying to do is break down the walls of being polite and talk about the way things really are. So hopefully you can look us up on politibomb.com and join us. We'll be recording another show this evening, so that'll be up probably later tonight or in the morning.
And on iTunes. I don't want to forget to mention that. That's right.
It is on iTunes. You can find us. Just search Politibomb on iTunes. We're up. Leave a review, good or bad. We read them all, and we take them all to heart. So, you know, feel free to look us up on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and at politibomb.com.
Well, it's going to be fun to do that. I'm going to just subscribe through iTunes because it's seamless that way, of course. And I always said, even if some of this stuff will, I'm sure, touch what we talk about, it's still going to be interesting to get the other perspective. Yeah, I got to tell you, you know, when, and I listened to about, I've got about five more minutes of the first one to listen to. I always know it's good stuff when I actually find myself talking to the apparatus that I'm listening to it on. In this case, it was my iPad, so I was actually talking to my iPad going, seriously, Jake, seriously? Really? Well, is that where you want to go with this, Jake? Is that really where you want to go with this? So I was getting a little loud.
As we develop the show and get more shows under our belt, you're going to see Jake develop his own voice. He'll be the first person to tell you he's not Joe Munum. In fact, he's the one that inserted that it's not as good as two guys named Joe on the press release. That wasn't me. I'm not as I'm far more self-deprecating than that. But Jake's going to find his voice, and I think folks are going to be impressed at the end product. The show is definitely a work in progress, and so join us on the journey.
All right, and Jeff just typed into our little screen here. He just subscribed to the iTunes podcast, so I think what I'm going to do is we'll create a link to it at our website at thetonyshow.org. So I'll do that later on today. And then, of course, as the new ones come up on a weekly basis, we'll post it to the Facebook page so that people can more easily find it. And then again, just go to, you know, just search Politibomb on iTunes and subscribe, which is the easiest way. Anybody that's ever used iTunes understands you do it once and it's done. It automatically downloads it for you and puts it exactly where you ask it to put it, and it's done. You're done. It's that simple. So it should be good. So I'm looking forward to it. I didn't know you were doing this. So I was kind of excited when I got this morning.
Well, you know, two guys named Joe has been on hiatus for a year due to the other Joe's work commitments. And it seemed there's just too much going on to ignore it. And, you know, Jake and I have an agreement that if Mr. Munum becomes free to do two guys named Joe again, you know, that's going to be my priority. But hopefully, while that process sorts itself out, you know, Politibomb will be a great place to interact with us and interact with others. I mean, I think we're going to bring guests on and try to really grow a special show.
Well, I know that you've missed two guys named Joe because you and I have talked about that privately and even on air. And so I would and obviously you're not going to say no to this. You're obviously very excited about doing this new podcast.
Yeah, like I said, it's going to be a great, almost real-time opportunity to talk about things as they pop up. We're going to commit to at least one show a week, and if something huge happens, we'll be able to link up and get something up ASAP. So hopefully, send viewer mail. Or listener mail, rather, you can send those to both my personal email address and the Politibomb address you'll find at politibomb.com. I think it's going to be an exciting endeavor.
Yeah, well, and part of it, if you go to politibomb.com, which I know some of you are doing as we speak, under sponsors, it says, sure, we'd love to have some of them. So, listen, folks, you got to have fun. You really do. You got to have fun doing this at some point. As serious as this stuff is, you got to have a little bit of fun. So anyway, then those of us, of course, live in the world as sponsors completely understand what that means. So anyway, I was just so happy to see that you were getting back into something that is similar to Two Guys Named Joe. It was a very popular thing. I think that this will find its own audience soon enough. I'm not going to be at all surprised if you don't find a lot of subscribers right away. And it should be fun to see. And interesting to see where you guys take this. And so we'll look forward to doing that. Do you guys plan on doing a recording Friday for, is that pretty much the program you're going to be on is Fridays?
I'm not sure as of yet. I think we're still trying to find out the best way to schedule the show in both Jake and I's schedules. We're both out there in the trenches as working political consultants. So, the work has to come first. But I'm hoping that we do have a regular schedule so people can anticipate the show as opposed to being just surprised when it shows up.
Yeah, well, you're right, and we'll look forward to that. And, of course, like everything else, it's just starting. So give it a chance to find its foundation and give them a chance to figure it out. So I'm very excited and want to, again, we'll get this up to the on the web page and we'll get it up on the Facebook and we'll make sure that everybody knows where it's at so that we can promote it. In the meantime, we're just about a minute from break, so it makes no sense to start a topic only to stop. I will ask this before we do go to break. Just very quickly, the money that's being spent by the Santorum campaign is shocking. Shocking, they're actually going to spend more than $1 million in media. I never thought that would happen, Joe.
I never thought that would happen, but now that it has happened, I think you're going to see even more.
Well, and that's what we're hearing this morning. In fact, before we go to the break, I read literally during one of the breaks in the show a little earlier this morning that the super PACs are now stepping in, not to mention his campaign itself. Let's take a quick break. Joe DeSano, partner in Main Street Strategies, is my guest. When we come back, we'll talk about the primary. Of course, both candidates in Michigan this week, what that means. We'll take a look at the polling numbers, both for the national and the statewide race. And we'll take a look at the Pete Hoekstra's race. How is he doing against his own Republicans, and how does he measure up against Debbie Stabenow? A lot to get to in our time with Joe DeSano today. Everybody stay right where they're at. A quick break, and we'll continue after this.
First Shift with Tony Trigano.
High State was a leading indicator of what liberals would be trying to do across the country. They're trying to do right now. And I fought against long odds in a deep blue state. But I was a severely conservative Republican governor.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. For the most part, we are looking great out there on the freeways. No major issues. We do have one small problem. Northwestern Highway southbound on the ramp to 696 westbound. That ramp is currently partially blocked. That's causing some minor backups, but nothing that's really going to slow you down too much. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
A forecast of the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high near 41. Tonight, chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy, a low around 31. Then tomorrow, we're looking at snow and some rain and snow pretty much on and off all day. Mostly cloudy otherwise, a high in the upper 30s. Right now, it's overcast and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining in at me now is Oakland County Commissioner Tim Grimmel, who represents Auburn Hills, but he is also a Democratic candidate for the 29th House seat here in the state of Michigan.
We've seen the state move in what I think is the completely wrong direction. Across country, we've seen the middle class and working families under attack, and that's as true here in Michigan as it is anywhere else. So we've seen our governor try to shift the tax burden from big corporations to the rest of us. He started taxing our seniors' pensions. He's reduced the earned income tax credit. He's weakened the workers' compensation system. He's cut unemployment benefits, and he's cut education funding.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies is my guest. If you would like to join us, by the way, you're always welcome to do that. 888-552-3595. I just ask that you stay topical to what we're talking about. Joe, welcome back. As I said before the break, both Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum in the state of Michigan yesterday came within about 30 miles of each other at one point, delivering an interestingly similar message while attacking each other and continuing to attack not just the president of the United States, but interestingly enough, especially Mitt Romney calling out Bob King by name, which I question his wisdom on doing that. Your thoughts on their trip to Michigan this week?
Well, I think it's an interesting battleground for them to end up on, especially with Governor Romney's record here of essentially telling Detroit to drop dead. The timing couldn't be perfectly timed as we see GM UAW organized workers giving $7,000 profit sharing checks. So I think it's safe to say that those profit sharing checks would not be coming their way if the federal government didn't intervene and keep GM afloat at the time that they needed help. And I think it's also fair to say that those workers wouldn't be getting those $7,000 checks if they weren't organized by the UAW.
Now, pretty safe to say that that money won't also be spent towards a Mitt Romney campaign contribution either.
No. But you know what? $7,000 is the lint in Mitt Romney's pocket. So, you know, you can't expect him to understand the fact that $7,000 at the right time is the difference between not having a home and sleeping in a car.
Well, you know, let's talk about, you know, we talked a little bit before we went to break about the money that's being spent on media. Mitt Romney at this point is projected, and I think it'll end up being more than this, is projected to spend about $2.5 million. At one point, earlier this week, I had read that the Santorum campaign had only spent $43,000, and I don't even know how you spend that little amount of money on media. I really don't. You know, I don't know if that's a cable buy or I don't know what it was for. But then we understand as the week progressed and as the poll numbers showed Rick Santorum doing amazingly well, in some polls double digits well, that all of a sudden not only are campaign contributions coming in and they're spending them as fast as they're coming in, but some of the super PACs decided to start writing some larger checks for Rick Santorum. Are you surprised by this?
No, not really, because 2 or 3 weeks ago, actually closer to a month ago, there was that far-right values voters summit down in Texas where they decided to throw their, a lot of big money folks, big money Republicans and conservatives decided to throw their money behind Santorum instead of Gingrich. And this is essentially what ended the candidacy of Rick Perry. And I think this is the direct result of that decision. So now we're starting to see the money flow. I think what's going to happen is, regardless of how much money Santorum comes up with, the Romney people are going to come up with more, and they're going to need every penny. I still believe that Romney will eke out a win here in Michigan because he absolutely has to. And Romney, in my opinion, is a far more ruthless campaigner than Santorum has ever proven to be. And I think the Santorum ads are not as good as the Romney ads and the Romney Super PAC ads. And it's a shame that, you know, essentially the votes are going to be determined by the quality of someone's ads as opposed to the quality of a person. But that's the reality we live in. So we just have to deal with that reality, and I think what will happen is at the end of the day, Romney will eke it out. It's just a question of how much damage he's going to incur among voters nationally, because he is losing nationally as well.
Well, you know, interestingly, Charles Krauthammer, who, as you know, is a very conservative newspaper columnist and Fox News contributor, says that if Mitt Romney does not win Michigan, it resets the campaign. And those are the words that he used, Joe. It resets the campaign almost to the beginning. And I find that a really interesting comment.
Well, and I don't disagree with Mr. Krauthammer. I disagree with him on a lot of things, but at this particular point, I don't disagree. You know, every election cycle you hear someone talk about a brokered convention. You know, every election you've heard that, you know, rumors in 2008 that the Democrats were going to not be able to come to a decision, it'd be a brokered convention. I mean, every election cycle, every nomination process, you have that. We very well might be coming to that situation here in 2012 with the Republicans if this thing falls apart with Romney. And, of course, I think at that point you look at someone like a Jeb Bush.
Well, that's the name that often comes up. We are going to go to the phones, 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Dave in Detroit to First Shift. Dave, you're on the air with Joe DeSano.
Yeah, good morning. I was just listening to a comment a couple of minutes ago, and they were talking about the profit-sharing check that's going to be distributed to GM employees, and I was kind of curious. If the executives have their profit sharing or their bonuses distributed so that their taxes capital gains, I'm wondering why the unions don't start working on something where their bonus checks would be distributed so that their maximum tax would be 15%. So what's good for the goose is good for the geese, right?
Well, I certainly would have no problem with that, Dave. Unfortunately, I don't set tax policy, nor do I pretend to understand it. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I don't set tax policy either, but if I did, it'd be radically different than the situation we're looking at now.
Yeah, so I don't disagree with what Dave had to say. Yeah, it should be what's fair is fair. It won't be that way, unfortunately, Dave, but thanks for the thanks for the call. I do find it interesting, and I'm going to stick with Mitt Romney here, Joe Zisano, for just a moment. His posturing the last few days, a very aggressive posturing, very anti-union, very pro-right to work. Certainly, as the papers keep on saying, he's doubled down on his "let Detroit go bankrupt" statement instead of trying to justify it. You know, he doubled down on it. At the end of the day, you know, listen, it's not like he was going to ever win Michigan come November anyway. So does it really matter what he says right now? Is this about positioning for other states?
It does, because you've got a situation where I think the Romney folks, I actually sympathize with them, the Romney team, because they've got an incredibly flawed candidate. I mean, this is a guy who looks presidential. He would look right at home on the wall of presidents, you know, with the exception of our current president, who has set a new paradigm for what a president looks like. But he would fit right in visually with previous presidents. His resume at a cursory glance would fit him right with other presidents. But the fact of the matter is he's incredibly flawed and he believes nothing. This man is a soulless automaton. And a good politician would be able to surf the public opinion in ways that this man just isn't able to. So I think he's tone deaf as to the realities of the place he's campaigning in. I think it's just another example of how he is out of step with the public at large. And this is a guy who...
We got to take the break, Joe. So hold that thought. We'll come back and then say Joe Zisano with Main Street Strategies is my guest. I am Tony Trupiano. We're up against the clock. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Southbound 75, right before 12 miles, where it starts to go down to two lanes. That's causing delays back to 14 mile, but overall, traffic is fairly light this morning. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, a high near 41. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain and snow, a low around the freezing mark. And then Saturday, a chance of snow and some rain and snow on and off all day. Mostly cloudy, a high around 39. Right now, it's overcast and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Brandon Jessup, the CEO of Michigan Forward.
If this came easy, it wouldn't be worth it. And to fight a law that's as erroneous as this, that stinks the way this law does, the law that puts dictators over communities, somebody's got to stand up to that. And we're glad Michigan Forward, AFSCME Council 25, the Michigan Education Association, we're all glad to stand up and say, hey, we said something about this law, and we put it on the ballot for justice to decide on which way this thing goes.
First Shift with Tony on 1310 WDTW.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
The rich are different from you and me, but the really, really, really rich are also different from the merely rich. For example, the rich can buy caviar and champagne, but the triple R rich can buy entire presidential campaigns. Take Sheldon Adelson, the money bags who's pumped $11 million so far into Newt Gingrich's right-wing run. He has single-handedly kept Gingrich's White House ambitions alive. Without this one guy's money, the Newt would have been long gone. Thanks a lot, Sheldon. But Adelson can easily afford to roll the dice on a far-out candidate. This global casino baron hauled in $3.3 million in pay last year. Not for a year. That's what his hourly take was. In other words, his $11 million bet on Newt, which altered the Republican presidential race, was nothing. Less than 3.5 hours of one of Sheldon's work days. Even Rick Santorum, who's so far to the right that his left brain has entirely atrophied from lack of use, is actually in the running for the GOP nomination. He insists that people are flocking to him because of the power of his ideas. Sure, Rick. And the power of Foster Freeze's money. This little-known Wall Street multimillionaire has long been a partner in the Koch brothers' plutocratic cabal and a steady funder of right-wing Christian politics. Freeze modestly claims that God is, quote, the chairman of my board. I doubt that, but Freeze definitely is Santorum's guardian angel, having kept his campaign of wackiness afloat with untold infusions of cash. When Freeze was told that Santorum's recent caucus wins would prompt Mitt Romney's Triple R Richies to counterattack, he was thrilled. I think that is so exciting, he warbled. This is Jim Hightower saying, so there you have it. American politics has developed into a game for the fun and profit of a few super-rich narcissists. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Tribbiano.
35 minutes after the hour. Joe DeSano with us this morning, and we've got a whole lot to get to. We want to turn our attention to the Senate race between Hoekstra and, as the polling tells us, no one else, because nobody else seems to be moving the dial at all. Joe, Pete Hoekstra, with respect to his opponents in the primary, doesn't seem to have much to worry about.
Well, I always tell people in politics, it's not where you are, it's where you're going. The fact of the matter is that Clark Durant, as it stands right now, doesn't stand a chance against Hoekstra. But I think you need to keep in mind that he is, as we talked about last week, at parity with Hoekstra in fundraising. He's only going to raise more money. And this is these primary elections aren't decided in February. They're decided in July. They're decided in June. I think what you have to see is the other candidates who are out there, like Gary Glenn and Randy Heckman, they're going to fall by the wayside. And there's three or four other candidates out there who are pulling in low single digits who just aren't going to be able to get on the ballot. They're not going to have enough volunteers to go out and get the necessary signatures to secure a ballot spot. So they're going to fade away. The Republican far right is going to coalesce around Durant. He's going to continue to raise money, and I think you're going to have a slugfest before this is done.
Well, very well may be. We take a look at there were two polls that were released. That show Hoekstra, of course, comfortably ahead. But, and you are right. These things aren't decided in February. If I'm Clark Durant's campaign, I understand that they did come out with a new ad, another ad that I have not seen. But obviously, at some point, when do they start getting a whole lot more serious about positioning Clark Durant in a way that gives him some name recognition? I would think at some point you have to make a move, Joe.
Well, right now they're doing the tour of Republican activists and conservative activists and courting the Tea Party. So I think they're only really interested in a pool of voters that may be only 5,000 or 10,000 people here in the state. And as we get closer to the election, you'll start to see them broaden their targets. And I think what will happen is one of these guys will catch fire and be the conservative alternative to Hoekstra, because Hoekstra is very much like Romney in that the far right has serious reservations about them. So what will happen is one of these folks will emerge as the conservative challenger to Hoekstra. And as I said last week, that ad, the Hoekstra ad was designed to build a firewall among Tea Party activists to cover up Hoekstra's glaring weakness in the Republican primary, which is his record on spending. You know, he mentioned Debbie Stabenow in the ad, but he was really positioning himself for the coming primary fight because they're smart enough to realize where they've got a massive chink in their armor. And actually, you know what? That was the wrong word to use, especially in light of Chinese ads. So if I inadvertently offended anyone, I apologize.
I think you're going to be okay. I don't think you have anything to worry about, Joe.
Yeah, be careful, man. That's, you know, 99 times out of 100, that word is okay to use.
You're right. Well, you know, it's I find it with what's happening statewide here with the Hoekstra campaign, or what's happening with Romney and Santorum here in the state of Michigan. As I said on the show yesterday, and I'm just going to throw it out again because it tells you how much I know. A month ago, when you know Mitt Romney was up 16 points against everybody else in the field, my concern was. And the way I stated it is, would Michigan be relevant come February 28th? It was just a question, and I didn't think it would be. I was wrong. It is now very, it was now very relevant.
Nor did I. But Mitt Romney's inability to seal the deal, both here and in Michigan, across the nation, I think surprised a lot of folks.
Interestingly, Joe, very quickly, Sarah Palin yesterday, day before, I don't remember which day it was, said that if there was a brokered convention, she, quote unquote, is standing by and ready to help out the grand old party. Does she delusionally think she's going to be the nominee?
Every Democrat should, in their evening prayers, pray for such a thing. There are, 535 members of the Senate and Congress?
Yeah.
Senate and House Representatives. If Sarah Palin's the nominee, Democrats are going to hold 600 of the 535 spots. Her as the nominee would be the greatest gift we were ever given. So let's hope that she's delusional enough to continue on that course.
Well, I mean, we haven't had anything close to a brokered convention in this country, and I don't know how long. I really have no idea.
48.
It's 48.
I would think 48, maybe.
I still don't believe it's possible, but, again, I didn't think Mitt Romney wouldn't be beating the hell out of everybody at this point.
I still think it's unlikely, and if it does go to a brokered convention, it would certainly not be anyone of her ilk. It'd be someone of some significant stature. I think the obvious choice is Jeb Bush, and you know, I think any Republican, we're starting to see the political tectonic plate shift, where I think we're looking at a very, very big win for Democrats and Obama here coming this fall. I'm not sure there's much value in having the Republican nomination at this point.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, as an example, and I'm just going to throw this out there. Mitt Romney is going to go to Utah this weekend to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of the Olympics, where the Democrats are justifiably and rightly pointing out that it took a $1.4 billion earmark to get the Olympics out of trouble when he was, quote-unquote, the savior. So what he was able to do was the one thing he criticizes constantly, which was bail out the Olympics.
Well, and that goes back to my point that this guy has zero self-awareness. He's got zero moral core to himself. He is an automaton and can't understand that him doing this is going to expose even more of his hypocrisy.
Yeah, again.
It's shocking.
Well, and he's the one that continues to bring this stuff on himself. Again, I wouldn't. If I were Mitt Romney's handlers, I would wake up every day going, well, "How the hell do we do this now? What do we do with this one? How are we going to deal with that one?" Because he keeps on, you know, handing it to them.
I have great sympathy for his campaign team. I mean, they're selling a massively flawed product. A contradictory product that, you know, I think is indicative of certainly I'm not the only one who's come to this conclusion. Republican primary voters have come to this conclusion.
Yeah, you know, this, you know, I said this on the show yesterday, and maybe I'm wrong, but Joe, you know, the ammunition the Democrats have, they're not even using yet. What they're doing is using the stuff the Republicans are giving them to use. They haven't even gone into the, trust me, they've done their vetting. They know what they're going to do. They've got their ad time bought. They've got their ads ready. And they haven't even begun to fight this thing, and nor have they needed to really begin to fight this thing, because the Republicans have been doing a very good job at killing themselves.
Well, I think what's going to happen is if you can take a step back and kind of project 5 years from now, this primary period is going to be looked at for two things. One, Republicans killing themselves in these debates, these televised debates. I mean, they have just fed on themselves. And number two, none of them has articulated a positive, optimistic agenda for the country. That is one thing that all of them have in common. They are selling doom and gloom and hatred for the current president. And I think the lack of an optimistic shining city on the hill, if you use the Reagan cliche, their lack of putting that kind of thing forward in essence, I think, brands them in the public eye as it almost disqualifies themselves from being serious contenders for the presidency.
Well,
so that's why I see this thing ending up.
Yeah, but certainly, I would agree with you. I think ultimately, as we take a look at what it is that we as voters need to do, we need to be diligent. We need to pay attention, which is, I think, critical. We need to continue to educate ourselves. As I suggested earlier this week, as February 28th gets here, and you are a Democrat, and as you know, the Democratic Party in Michigan has invited you with their compliments to vote in the Republican primary, that you exercise your right to do that. I'm going to vote Republican for the one and only time in my life, because I want to be able to say that I've done it. And so I will. And I'm looking forward to that. I want to encourage others to do that as well. So, see, people can't say you don't know how the other half lives. I unfortunately won't, financially benefit from it, but that's okay, because there are a lot of Republicans that vote against their interest all the time that are dead-ass broke. Don't get that one either. Joe, looking forward to Politibomb on a weekly basis, so thank you for finding a partner and reviving the spirit of Two Guys Named Joe, and we'll look forward to listening to that as we move forward.
Oh, thank you, my friend. Thank you for your friendship.
No problem. We will, we'll, of course, do what we can to promote that. We'll visit with you again next Friday. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you then.
Excellent. Will do. Thank you.
Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies. We are going to take a very quick break here. We'll come back and wrap it up on the other side. Stay with us, and feel free to join us as well. 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Michigan at risk of losing 249,989 supply chain jobs over the next decade. China's trade violations contribute to the loss of more than 400,000 jobs in U.S. auto supply chain. Joining me now is Scott Pohl, the Executive Director of the Alliance for American Manufacturing.
The peril is the surge in imports from China in auto parts that go into the original equipment and also the aftermarket. They have surged by 900%. Over the last 9 or 10 years, we have an enormous trade deficit, $9 billion with China in auto parts right now. And it doesn't have to be this way. The United States is the only major auto producing country that has such an extraordinary deficit with China. And it's because of a flaw in our trade policies. We're not nearly tough enough with the Chinese. We don't support our industry in the same way as other countries do.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Absolutely. Let your voice be heard on First Shift. 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. On Twitter, at Tony Tribbiano, as we continue to grow our Twitter family. I am going to go to the phones and welcome Dan in Milford. Dan, as always, a pleasure to hear from you. What's on your mind today, pal?
Hey, good morning, brother. Hey, you know, I love listening to Joe, and I love having him on the show, and just keep it up. He does great work, and I love him. He made a comment about how Romney is a flawed product, and I agree completely. I think it goes further than that, and I think the Republican message, especially to their base, especially to Republicans, is a flawed product. And I want to give you an analogy. Imagine you're a Republican voter, and you're walking in to buy a car. And the car salesman is Mitt Romney. Mitt desperately wants you to buy that car because he's going to get a big bonus from selling you that car. He doesn't care what features you need. He just really wants you to buy that car. And that's where I think the Republican base has this unsettled feeling of they're getting sold something. They're pretty sure that they're not getting their needs met, but they're not exactly getting told the truth by the people that are trying to sell it to them. And I think that's what you're seeing on their base.
Certainly I can't find any fault in anything you've said. Dan, and I don't know how old you are. I'm 50. I'm going to be 51 soon. And I've been involved in a lot of different political campaigns. I've always been, even when I wasn't really into politics, I was always into presidential politics. Going back to the middle school, I always found presidential politics interesting. I don't ever remember being embroiled in a campaign like we are with the Republicans right now, where there is such a lack of prosperity. Of excitement, of a central focus. I mean, there's nothing about these Republican candidates where, we are saying to ourselves, wow, I mean, that's really, I mean, did you hear what he had to say? Even if it was controversial. What we're saying is, can you believe what's going on right now? Can you believe they don't have a guy? Can you believe that Santorum's doing this? I mean, as the conversations we're having, it's almost embarrassing. Anyway, it's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. Thank you for your call, Dan. Jeff, very quickly, because I know that you're a fan of Media Matters for America, as you should be. That's a great resource. They've been a part of my radio life since their inception. According to Talkers Magazine, and Media Matters, by the way, is front and center on the fight to get rid of Fox News. Dropfox.com is one of their websites. the people at Fox News are now claiming that Media Matters is coordinating with the White House for messaging. And that's a big no-no because they are a nonprofit. Because of their nonprofit status, of course, they and their political status, they cannot, you know, coordinate with the White House. I don't know that they're going to be able to prove that that's true. So just want to share that. Okay. Go ahead. Join me. You said Mears just reporting that Rep. Phil Kavanaugh wants Bob Ficano to step down. Very quickly, Jeff, Rep. Phil Kavanaugh, who happens to be my state rep, was at one time my county commissioner, which means he knows Bob Ficano quite well.
And he's a Democrat, right?
Oh, very much so.
So now you have people coming out from both sides. So it's not apolitical, as political as it, I guess it seemed when it was just Cox.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's very interesting. I got to tell you, I don't know that Kavanaugh and Ficano ever got along terribly well. So that, and I'm just being honest, Jeff, I think that that's, that may be politically motivated.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't read the article because it was just a tweet, but it was breaking, so I thought I was
throwing out there. No. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm not sure. Again, I'm not sure. You know, I got to be honest with you. The first thing that comes to mind is, does Phil Kavanaugh want to be the next county executive? That's what comes to mind. Isn't it horrible? I think that way. It's all about politics, but it is all about politics. So, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I very well could be wrong.
Well, it's not like it's gonna make him look bad for coming out with that position. Time to step down. I mean, that's the right position regardless of your party affiliation, I would think, at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll certainly gonna pay attention to and see how that plays out. I'm sure Gongwer will have something on that as well later today. David Holtz was on the program yesterday and mentioned letromneygobankrupt.com. That website is now up and running. So if you go to letromneygobankrupt.com, you can get all the goodies there. And I will also let you know that if you want a bumper sticker, that's where you want to go. I think there's a $3 donation for that. I got some emails on that yesterday. Letromneygobankrupt.com is up and running. Thank you, Progress Michigan. And let's wrap it up with one more call, and that'll do it for us. Steve in Livonia joins us now. Steve, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind?
I, too, am in your district with Mr. Kavanaugh, and I know for a fact that Mr. Kavanaugh and Ficano hate each other's guts because Ficano ran someone against him this last election. I think he was looking for funding from Ficano, and Ficano kind of pulled the rug out from underneath him, but... I'm not a Ficano supporter. I'm disappointed, if nothing else, in the lack of leadership. I'm not saying the guy's guilty of anything, but it just seems like, you know, one dead fish, okay, two dead fish. When you start to get a kettle of fish, it's disgusting. And the only thing missing from Ficano's name is an R next to it, and I believe all this stuff, but I'm real hesitant. You know,
Steve, we were mentioning earlier on today, if he didn't know this, then it's terrible incompetence. If he did know this, then he needs to go to jail. What's the third option, Steve?
There is none. There is none. I mean, I don't know if he should resign or not. I'm not going to push that. I think that's something he's got to decide for himself. But I that's why I like your show, because you didn't hide any of this. I mean, it was all right out there with Kavanaugh. I mean, you did mention that, you know, they didn't get along. And I just remember that when Kavanaugh was out campaigning and stuff, you know, initially it was, you know, that implied support of Ficano. And then when the rug got pulled out from underneath him, he was just, you know, the venom came out. So I don't know.
Absolutely.
It's sad. It's a sad situation.
Sad situation. And obviously politically motivated. I appreciate your call. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. That's all we can do. All right, that'll do it for us today. Don't even have time to ask what the guys are doing this weekend, so we got to go. Anthony and Jeff, thank you so much.
Not eating breakfast. That's what we're doing.
No, anyway. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. Folks, have an amazing weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a lot of good stuff, including Mark Brewer. You'll want to stay tuned. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano. As always, always I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Well, we do have one problem out there on the freeways. A late morning accident, 94 eastbound, right before 9 Mile. Only the right lane is open right now. Expect some delays from around Vernier. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, a high near 41. Tonight, chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy, a low around 31. Then tomorrow, chance of rain and snow off and on all day, with most of it being snow later on. Mostly cloudy, a high in the upper 30s. Right now it's fair and hazy. 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Tony.